Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! King Shazir's the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Something happened yesterday that is very telling as to what is going to be happening tomorrow. A huckster by the name of Glenn Beck decided that he's going to take the side of the liberals. And he went on his show and he said that it's deadly for his career, but he's going to send truckloads of meals and soccer balls to help some of the roughly 60,000 underage refugees who have crossed into America illegally. And predictably, this morning on the MSNBC show by the Quisling, Joe Scarborough, and the New World Order daughter, Brzezinski, they did exactly what I predicted would happen. They embraced Glenn Beck. They trashed conservatives who are against amnesty. They said that Glenn Beck is acting as a good Christian. And, of course, Scarborough, the double-talking Quisling, even mocked anyone who opposes amnesty as unchristian. Glenn Beck, in other words, opened up the door to attack the entire conservative movement. Do you really think he cares about the children? Do you actually think that this huckster, this carnival barker, Glenn Beck, cares about the children? Let me explain something to you. Glenn Beck got where he is, not through his talent, but through the Mormon Church. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. If it were not for the millions of members of that wonderful church who've been hoodwinked by the charlatan, his books never would have sold. His third-rate radio show would have never gotten where it is. And his charities wouldn't be rolling in dough. I want you to listen to the huckster, Glenn Beck, and his care for the illegals in clip one.
I've never taken a position more deadly to my career than this, and I have never, ever taken a position that is more right than this. We're going to fill some tractor trailers with food, with water. The churches have asked us if we could bring teddy bears and soccer balls.
Churches.
So we've loaded up a whole tractor trailer of nothing but teddy bears and soccer balls. And then I'm going to go serve breakfast and lunch.
You
and I'm
going to
help unload these trucks.
You fraud.
Hot meals for 3,000.
You double-talking squizzling.
When America stops being good, we are no longer able to be great.
Now, I've always felt Glenn Beck was a phony. From day one, I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, look, this is a competitive business. No one likes me. I don't like them. That's a given. It's just competition. But I don't think any of them are as fraudulent as Glenn Beck. I've always felt he's a con man. There was a movie called Marjo 20 years ago about a country preacher who goes from town to town amongst the rubes with a giant tent and preaches the gospel of Jesus. Doesn't believe a word of it. That's what he's always struck me as. Anyone who wears their religion on their sleeve like that and cries on air and on a regular basis, whatever. I come from a more cynical background than that. But that's his act. He got away with it. He's gotten to be a rich man. He has all sorts of things going. Good luck to him. But he's now crossed the line. He's now permitted the backstabbing left-wing media to attack anyone who opposes amnesty as being unchristian, on this, on that. And if you don't believe me, I want you to listen to the next one, which is the Quisling Joe Scarborough in clip two.
He's actually playing by another person's handbook, Jesus' handbook.
Kiss my foot.
You know, Jesus was very clear.
Hey, Joe, wash my dirty feet.
The people that are blessed are those
Hey, Scarborough, my feet are dirty for running around the block. Why don't you come wash them?
See? And you gave me something to drink. I needed clothing. You gave me clothes.
Ah, you're full of garbage, Scarborough. You were thrown out of office in Florida, and you've made a good living as a Quisling Republican on MSNBC. Why don't you give him some money? You liar, you. It's time that Rick Perry put, send the Arizona National Guard down there. Use National Guard. Booted
thugs. These black booted thugs. This collaboration between Mexico and the Obama administration is absolutely worrisome. It's frightening to think that this government is in cahoots with the corrupt socialist Mexican, Guatemalan, El Salvadoran regimes. It's hard to believe that you dummies out there don't recognize we've had a communist coup in the United States of America. Everything that every soldier died for in this century has gone up in smoke. Because we've had a coup. Obama won't even go to the illegal alien concentration camps. Why? Why won't he go there? If he's so in love with the children, why won't he embrace them? He won't even be photographed with them. Could be the Secret Service warned him he could contract tuberculosis, as some border agents have done. Perhaps he would get some scabies. Maybe some of the lice crawling out of the children's hair might crawl on his suit, God forbid. Maybe the gangbangers in the shelters next to the children might be a threat to the president. And we're also going to talk about the Obama church media complex, specifically Glenn Beck selling out for the illegal alien mafia. How do you feel about Glenn Beck crying on air saying he's going to bring hot meals to the illegals? Do you think that this is a Christian thing to do, or simply an attempt by Glenn Beck to be invited on all of the liberal programs that have banned him and all other individuals who are patriotic and believe in the law of the land?
Republicans used to understand this. This is not like a crazy democratic socialist idea. My favorite president's a Republican, Abraham Lincoln.
Let me stop right there. Watch out for what he just said. My favorite president, Republican, Abraham Lincoln. Well, Abraham Lincoln arrested 15,000 of his political opponents so he can pursue his civil war. No wonder he's his favorite president. He suspended habeas corpus. Listen to what he just said and don't fall for it. I'm warning you. You know, for all of my flaws and all of my defects, and God knows I have many of them, I have a very, very deep prophetic streak in me as well. Yes, I inherited something from the ancient Israelites. I can see things before you can. I can see many things before you can. They come to me in dreams. They come to me through logic. Sometimes I just get a vision. I am telling you, you're living in a very dangerous time. And when you see this two-faced phony, Glenn Beck, suddenly jumping ship and joining the Obama administration, and crying on air about bringing a tractor trailer full of food to the poor children, you know something's coming. You know something's coming. You know it. What, all of a sudden there were no starving children in America? There are no starving children here in America? All of a sudden he has to find them from Guatemala. How many will he bring tractor trailers full of food for? 300,000? 3 million? 30 million? 60 million? How about all the starving children in India? How about the starving children in China? Where does it end? When does it end?
What about America's poor? You see, from my point of view, charity begins at home. You want to talk about the Christian Bible? Charity begins at home. Let's start with the veterans. Let's start with the veterans who are dying in hallways. All of a sudden, he's got his heart on his sleeve, Glenn Beck. He's very much like Obama, and they'll never let a crisis go to waste. Now he's going to be at the border, grandstanding with the trucks full of soccer balls and teddy bears. Are you kidding me? He's using all the tactics of the left. Hillary Clinton came to power on the Children's Fund. It's always about the children. And Obama's so smart, and his minions are so smart, that they've used the children as a Trojan horse to bust our borders and destroy our sovereignty. Do you understand that? That it's not about the children, it's about America's sovereignty? Do you get it? Kevin on WABC, how do you feel about Glenn Beck joining Obama?
I am disgusted, Michael. To be honest with you, I've been a long listening and watching Glenn Beck fan. I've bought his books. I've watched his shows. I was devastated when he left Fox. I know you're not a big fan of Fox, but to hear that this man is doing this and enabling and jumping in bed with Obama, because remember, when you sleep with dogs, you get fleas. And the Catholic Church, and I'm a Catholic, I'm a practicing Catholic, I'm appalled that the Catholic bishops are asking parishioners to take these people into their homes and telling them they will get reimbursed for this. This is from my
communist. That's right. It's government money. In other words, the Catholic Church has become an arm of the Obama administration. There is no longer a separation of church and state. This is the most dangerous development in America's history. Do you know that?
I do. And let me tell you, this is coming from my communist pope, who's saying to Obama in that meeting that he had when President Obama visited him, this was all planned. This was planned over a year ago. Because
Kevin, I know what's going on. There's been a revolution in the world, whether it be the president, the pope, or the mayor in New York. They're all singing from the same leftist prayer book.
Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you, Michael, this was planned out because think about, they're not coming in the winter. They're coming in the spring and the summer. This was conspired a year ago to make sure that they were coming in warm weather. Because think about it, they got to travel from warm weather states to the midi.
Absolutely, that's right. And we have the emails from Department of Health and Human Services going back in January. RFPs, request for proposals to provide food, shelter, clothing, and housing for up to 100,000 of these children. They planned it. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but were rebellious at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. I appeal to you, God. God, step in and save America now. Death train derails in Mexico. I want you to go to the Drudge Report right now, if you're near a computer, because one picture is worth a thousand words. This conniving Marxist president of ours is so smart that he has you believing it's all women and children. Take a look at the death train that derailed in Mexico. Take a look at the quote, children on that train, hanging from the top. It looks like a train in India. But they're not 2 years old. They're not 5 years old. They're not 7 years old. They're grown men. They're grown men, 15, 16, 17, many of them with gang tattoos, pouring across the border because they're Obama's army. You say his army, don't get hysterical now. They're not here to carry guns, are they? No, they're here to carry votes. That's all they're here for. They're here to stuff the polls. They're here to destroy the midterm elections. They're here to make sure that Harry Reid, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, and the entire left-wing cabal continues to assert their high heels over your head. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand, finally, this is a war not only against America, but against African Americans? Do you get it yet? Where the hell is the African American community on this? Where are the loudmouths like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton screaming, wait a minute, we're not giving $4 billion to foreigners. What about our people? They've never been for you. But it's happening. It's happening. African Americans are confronting immigrant supporters. A magazine is reporting that amnesty will be a disaster for black workers. But you don't have a voice, do you? No, anyone who stands up for you is now a racist because we're confronting the Marxist president. You're putting your, you're blinded by your imagery. Use your brains. Use your brains, not your eyes. Use your brains, not your prejudice. Don't prejudge me. I am telling you this is a war against the poor in America. You're telling me that all of the African Americans in this country are doing well? They don't need any help from the government? Suddenly we have an extra $4 billion to give to the poor of Central America? Are you crazy? Are you people out of your minds? Take a look at the pictures. Here's another little story from the Drudge Report. Muslim prayer rug found on Arizona border. Was that one of the children that Glenn Beck's going to bring a teddy bear to? Did one of the Guatemalan children have a Muslim prayer rug? Protests are spreading. Michigan residents fight plans to house illegals. Shipment of illegals to San Diego halted. Administration turns to churches to avoid clashes. It's going on. It's going on. First, he hollowed out the military by firing all of the combat commanders who would have opposed him. Now, Mr. Rogers commanders that he left and the girls he put in charge of all of our avenues of national defense. Have you seen who he made a four-star admiral last week? I almost fell off my chair. He made a woman a four-star admiral who can't fly a plane, who can't pilot a ship. She's now a four-star admiral. And the first thing she wants to talk about is sexual harassment in the Navy. You don't see what's going on in front of your eyes. Germany threw the CIA out. They were spying on the German leadership. We have a despotic regime that the rest of the world understands what this man is. He's a petty dictator right now. Germany threw the CIA out. They were spying on her. He's spying on every American. He's flooding America with teenage illegal aliens. And you think anybody who opposes him is an enemy? No, we are the resistance. We are the American resistance. Make no mistake about it. And you better join us or you won't have a country left. That's one man's opinion. I showed you in this program the connection between the churches and illegal immigration. I showed you particularly the Catholic Church. But I haven't yet gotten to the connection between the Mormon Church and illegal immigration, which is why Glenn Beck, who, by the way, is a stooge of the Mormon Church, in my opinion, has become so popular so quickly with no talent. Not only that, that's why Glenn Beck suddenly said he's going to bring hot meals to illegals. The church wants him to. Check it out. Check out the policy of the LDS Church. It's the most important player in the legislative process in Utah on bills related to illegal immigration. In fact, according to State Senator Stuart Reed, who was the Senate supporter of the Utah Guest Worker Amnesty Bill 3SHB116, you will see that the Mormon Church is deeply involved in amnesty. You understand what I'm saying to you? You're at war. The country is at war. This is a sneak attack like Pearl Harbor. It may not be done with airplanes and ships and submarines and torpedoes, but Obama is torpedoing America's sovereignty. You are at war. You have an enemy within who is attacking this country's borders, language, and culture. And he is so clever that many of you idiots think that it's about the children. It has nothing to do with the children. He's only using the children as a Trojan horse. But I'll take your calls. Many of you probably disagree with me. Okay, let's go on to the callers. Philip, WMAL, you're a Glenn Beck supporter. You have the floor of the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I believe what you're telling me. The whole scenario around Glenn Beck, but I do believe, because I listen to you, I try to listen every day, but I do believe he is sincere in caring about the children. Now, the rest of it, I cannot dispute you. I cannot argue. You're more well.
Philip, listen to me. You know, the road to where is paved with good intentions.
True.
All right. So now, you don't believe that Glenn Beck is being cynical in sending trucks load of teddy bears and food to the illegals, and he's going to cook them meals, and that makes him a better Christian than those of us who want America's sovereignty protected?
I don't make him a better Christian. I think what he's trying to do is he realizes these children are going to be here for a while. They're not going to do what they're supposed to do and give them...
Wait. Why should they be here for a while? Why doesn't Glenn Beck go down there and join the militia and say, no, you're not invading my country? Why doesn't he go down and help the American patriots who are trying to stop this invasion if he cared about America? And if he really cared about the children, he would see who the mothers are. What kind of mother sends a child across Mexico where half of them are being raped and abused? What kind of mother is that? The mothers of Guatemala and El Salvador, that's some kind of mother. What a mother that is.
This is true. But and the thing is that nobody...
What about the children in America here who need help? Why doesn't he care so much about charity in his own backyard?
They're running advertisements all the time about 16 million children that are hungry here in the United States.
Well, let Glenn Beck send a truckload of teddy bears to them and cook them some meals.
This is true.
All right, there it is. You don't have to. We're going to talk about the flu vaccine tonight. Now you say, well, come on, Savage, don't we have stuff to talk about with the government and Obama's power grab? Well, I've done it. I called for a nationalist party on Monday. But, you know, if you think the government is deceiving you with regard to the banking industry, you're right. If you think the government is criminal in its willingness to grant amnesty to illegal aliens in order to get Obama reelected, you're right. If you have all of these suspicions about this regime, you're right. But you're not asking yourself one of the most important questions. If they lie to you about all these other things, and if they go around the law with regard to all these other things, why do you assume that the government's insistence that everyone get a flu shot is medically sound? Why do you assume that the stooges who work for the Centers for Disease Control are not merely puppets of the pharmaceutical industry? Why? Well, we're going to discuss that tonight, and I'm going to give you both sides of the equation on the flu vaccine. I have not taken it. I will not take it. I avoid vaccines. I've tried to avoid them my entire life. Now, I'll tell you off the top. I have a bias. I am anti-vaccine. I'm anti-vaccine for very personal and also professional reasons. There's no one else in the radio media who can discuss influenza vaccine to the extent that I can, because I have a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. One of the specialties is in epidemiology, which means I can read the literature. I'm not a virologist. I'm not an expert in vaccines, but I know enough to read the literature. And let me tell you something. Reading the literature will give you a little pause for thought. Let me start again by asking you some questions. Have you taken a flu vaccine this year and still gotten the flu? Have you not taken a flu vaccine and not gotten the flu? Let's start with basic questions. Did you take the vaccine and still get sick? Did you not take the vaccine and not get sick? Or let's go to question three. Are you afraid to take a flu vaccine? Would you give your child a flu vaccine? Have you ever had a side effect from a flu vaccine? Did you skip a flu vaccine and still avoid the flu? 855-400-7282. It's a very important question because, as I said 30 years ago in one of my early science, popular science books, microbes do not discriminate. They do not know whether you are black, white, gay, straight, conservative, liberal, fascist, communist, pacifist, doesn't matter. Microbes do not discriminate. They don't know the difference between one host and another. So it's very important that you listen to me tonight, because there's nobody else in the media who's able to dissect the realities of the flu vaccine as I'm going to do tonight on the Savage Nation. Because we now have a flu epidemic raging through America, I decided to talk about this important topic tonight. If the CDC has encouraged so many people to take the flu vaccine, and yet we still have a raging epidemic, can't you use common sense and assume that the flu vaccine was ineffective? Now, the liars are now being marched out. I saw a few of the liars from the CDC with their ushers' uniforms on CNN in particular, to continue the big lie and say, well, even if you had the vaccine and still got the flu, it's going to make sure the vaccine's going to prevent the more serious side effects. See your doctor. You liar, you. The CDC ceased being a scientific organization approximately 30 years ago. It was concurrent with the AIDS epidemic. It got stuck with people who were directly tied into the AIDS epidemic with a certain program, a certain program, a certain program. And since then, the CDC has lost its validity. When I was in graduate school, the CDC was a sterling institution, one of the greatest in the world. It was the greatest in the entire world. It was beyond reproach. And then it fell into the abyss of politics. I don't trust a word coming out of anyone who works for the CDC because it's too closely tied to the pharmaceutical giants. So now we have an influenza season. And the CDC has strongly urged you to get a flu shot. And many of you have. What you don't know is that they kept raising the number of people that should get the flu shot in order to build up a bigger business for the pharmaceutical companies. You may not know this, but the CDC's 15-member advisory committee on immunization practices makes recommendations each year on who should be vaccinated. Well, who are these people? Have you looked into who these 15 people are? Who is the CDC's advisory committee? Well, I looked into it. Would you like to find out who they are? You will if you listen to this program. And you'll start asking questions that you're not going to hear asked anywhere else but on the Savage Nation. I am by nature a skeptic. In 1983, I authored a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist, which Macmillan published. It was a little-known book. It was excellent. It was 30 years ahead of its time. The Skeptical Nutritionist established my view on nutrition at the time, even though I had gotten a new degree in nutrition in 1978. Nutrition, epidemiology, medical anthropology. It was an interdisciplinary degree. It was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. And I've continued to read the epidemiological literature to keep my mind sharp, let's put it to you that way. So that's number one. But number two, I have a bias. I'm going to give you both sides of the vaccine story, but I'm telling you going into it that I have a bias, and I'm anti-vaccine for very personal and also for professional reasons. When I say personal, I'd rather not talk about it. All I can say to you is that vaccines hurt someone in my family and almost killed me several different times, and I don't want to get into it, and starting with that, it's irrelevant. But having said that, there are those on the other side of the coin or of the argument who say that it is a national shame that there are people like me who talk against taking a flu vaccine. They say it's patriotic to take a flu vaccine. You have to take a flu vaccine or you're not patriotic. They've said that. You didn't know that. What you also don't know is that unions, nurses unions, have come out against vaccines. That labor unions have opposed mandatory flu shots. I don't know if you know that as well. They tried to force certain professions, even though they're union members, into taking the flu vaccine. And organized labor opposed it, and for good reasons, by the way. For very good reason, organized labor opposed mandatory flu vaccine. This is perhaps one of the most important shows I could do for you because there's nothing more political than health. And way back in the beginning of my radio career in 1994, I predicted that the day would come that the government would make an AIDS vaccine mandatory. And I said if they did it, I would leave the country. I would never take it. Well, we're almost at the point where the flu vaccine is mandatory. It's a sort of form of social control. Speaking of my background in anthropology, I remember distinctly in my years of research in the islands of the South Pacific, reading about illness and social control, even in a small village setting. There was an obscure paper, Illness and Social Control, in a small village somewhere in the Philippines in one of the small islands. Medicine and social control, very important subject, because we're entering another phase of the Obama administration where the government media complex literally tells you that if you don't take a flu vaccine, you're not a good American, that you have to take a flu vaccine to protect other people. Well, I'm going to tell you that you should make up your own mind. And we're going to talk about the four types of flu vaccines on the market. I'm going to talk about a very important subject to parents with young children, which is thimerosal, which is a preservative in some of the vaccines, not all. I want to make that very clear. The thimerosal contains mercury, which is known to impair neurological and immune systems. I know that I'm going to have people call me and argue with me. Trust me, I know the difference between methylmercury and the type of mercury that's that makes up the essence of thimerosal. I understand the difference, and I understand there's a difference between methyl and ethyl alcohol as well. Trust me, I know that as well. I would not put mercury into an amoeba. I'll tell you right now that if you put thimerosal in a petri dish, it kills the gel. If you put thimerosal in a petri dish, no organism can live around it. If you put thimerosal in a petri dish, and then you put brain tissue around it, the brain tissue dies. Would you inject that into your child's body? I wouldn't. And that leads us to the arguments that thimerosal is related to autism and other diseases. And that's why they came out with a preservative-free version of the vaccine for children 6 years of age and younger, because of the pressure of mothers primarily. Thimerosal has been removed from or reduced to trace amounts in all vaccines that have been recommended for children 6 years of age and younger. The pharmaceutical companies resisted this for 5 years, but they finally did it because mothers insisted that they do it. So I want you to understand the power of women in this country. And before I take my break, this is a great topic for us tonight. There's no more important topic, by the way. The phone number is 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. There's nobody else in talk radio who can discuss this the same way I'm going to do it, not only because I have a background in epidemiology, but because I have a passion for this that's extraordinary because of what vaccines did to someone in my family and destroyed his life, absolutely destroyed him. So I don't want to go into the vaccine personal cry story. But because of that, I was kind of driven into the whole field of research and science for all these years, trying to understand how things work. And I pretty much know how things work. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. There's nothing more political than your health, as you well know with Obamacare. You saw what is at stake. You saw that Nancy Pelosi forced it down everyone's throat because of the billions, if not trillions, of dollars that are going to flow into the hands of certain individuals tied into the Democrat machine. So seeing what went on with Obamacare, can you put your logic cap on and now connect it to the government telling you must get your flu shot? You don't see there's a profit in this, do you? I mean, they're not giving it to you for free, are they? The pharmaceutical companies are rolling in dough because of the flu shot. Now, we're going to go into the science of it eventually. We're going to have to do that. Flu is epidemic. Yet more people have taken the flu vaccine this year than ever before. How do you put, you can't put two and two together, so what was the point of taking it? How did this happen? We'll talk about that as well. I'm on the side against flu vaccines. I wouldn't take it. I told everyone in my family not to take it. And if you want to comment on this, you can't, because the lines, as I knew, would be jammed up. I will give you my bias so you don't think I'm objective. I'm not objective. I can read the literature, but I'm not objective. And let me tell you something. Nobody in the media is objective. Nobody in science is objective anymore these days. It's all a business. And if you don't adhere to the party line, whether it's in climate science or in immunology, you don't get grants. If you don't get grants, you don't get an appointment, and you don't work in this town anymore. So I'll tell you right off the bat, I have a bias. I'm anti-vaccine for personal and professional reasons. So let's go into the questions that I asked. The boards are jammed out. Don't get frustrated if you can't get through. What is a flu shot? There are four different types of flu vaccines: a standard flu shot, a high-dose flu shot for those 65 and older, an intradermal administered shot for those who are needle phobic, and a nasal spray. This is interesting. Contrary to what you may believe, the first three vaccines do not contain the live flu virus. They do not. The vaccine is made from two of the hundreds of different proteins that make up an influenza virus. And so you take two surface proteins off the virus, it doesn't mean it's live. There's no real organism there, it's a surface protein. And the scientists would say it's not possible to cause infection or disease with it, and they'll say the flu shot does not give you the flu, but I disagree with them. There's another side to the story. The nasal spray does contain live flu viruses. The nasal spray does contain live flu viruses. Dr. Dan Harper, who is against vaccinations of all kinds, said this. He said, use your head. You have 100 million viruses sprayed up the nose, along with other things like MSG and sugar, which causes inflammation. And since the virus also contains egg proteins, you run the risk of introducing an avian retrovirus, which can cause encephalitis in humans. And so here you are spraying this up into your nose, just a few millimeters from the brain, with MSG traveling across the blood-brain barrier, causing potential damage to neurotransmitters. Now, the government itself does not conclude that flu shots are 100% safe and effective. Even they say that they're not 100% safe and effective. That we understand. Yet, there are those who would argue that you should get a flu shot for humane reasons. They insist you get it. They said that anyone should get a flu shot, except people with an egg allergy. Anyone 6 months or older, they say, should get a flu shot every year. They say protecting yourself is an altruistic act. By getting vaccinated, you not only protect yourself, but you protect those around you as well. I don't agree
with
you.
Drugs called growing global menace. Now, what do we mean by fake drugs? Growing global menace. You may not know it, but many of the medications that you buy are coming from bootleg laboratories. I learned this a long, long time ago, that you often get what you pay for, especially when it comes to medication. I learned it when I was in grad school, and I was working for a pharmacologist who had come from one of America's great research corporations, a legitimate firm, I mean, a big company. He was director of research. He told me that, for example, Bayer aspirin is clearly the best there is. The quality control was different than the knockoff, you know, generic brands. The same is true, by the way, with generic drugs. You may not know this. There's been a lot of talk about it, but most of you don't know that generic drugs are not the same as the designated branded drug. They're not just the same and cheaper. They're made differently, the standards are different, and the quality control is much different. And that's why I actually, when I get a prescription, which is very rare, I always insist upon the designated name brand rather than a the equivalent. I won't take the equivalent, whether it be a simple drug or an aspirin. So fake drugs cause real concerns for officials. Not convinced that Americans are prepared to slow down in their pursuit of buying cheaper merchandise online, a coalition of government officials and private industry executives met at the White House today to address the broad range of problems associated with the sales of counterfeit products. So now listen to this. Victoria Espinel, the Obama administration's intellectual property czar, estimated that 1/6 of all Americans who bought drugs online did so without a prescription. Now, I don't know which side she's on, truthfully, but I could care less. I don't like czars. They should all be fired, by the way. However, I believe that we should absolutely not buy counterfeit drugs. I think that the government has an obligation to tell people that counterfeit drugs are dangerous. I think it's very important that people understand that legitimate pharmaceutical operations are entitled to a profit. And that since it costs about $1 billion the last I checked to take a drug all through the legislative process, the testing process, etc., to become a legitimate drug, I think a major corporation has the right to recover profits from their medications. Now, what better evidence is there that we haven't seen Cuba produce one medicine for the world? And you say, oh, well, socialized medicine is so wonderful. Cheaper drugs are so great. Let's get everything for nothing. Really? And where do you think your next breakthrough medication is going to come from? Cuba? North Korea? Syria? It's not going to come from those countries. In order to create breakthrough medications that all of us seem to want so badly, corporations have to invest in them. Many of you don't understand this because you have never owned a business. You've never had the audacity to invest money in creating a product or a service. So you don't understand what it takes to create a vegetable stand, let alone a prescription drug. So when I hear the profits are too high in the pharmaceutical industry, I totally disagree. Now, I've also argued that there are too many prescriptions in some areas, and I've said that. For example, I believe that the creation of these categories of sell drugs to children as young as 2 years old, and I think that's a crime. That doesn't mean that all pharmaceuticals are criminal. And that all pharmaceutical companies are not entitled to a profit. There's two different subjects here, by the way. But the problem of fake drugs, we read, also extends to the legitimate pharmacies. And they quote a music professor who told the audience how he unwittingly bought bogus drugs from his local chain drugstore. You hear? Chain drugstore. He said the drug, which he had previously used without problem, suddenly caused a terrible burning sensation. So he asked his pharmacist about the situation and was told, you may have gotten the fake stuff. It turned out that multiple batches of cooked-up powder disguised as medication infiltrated the legitimate supply chain and was not discovered until the fake meds reached the consumer. You hear this? Now, how did that happen? How does it happen that fake drugs can wind up inside a legitimate a pharmaceutical chain? How does that happen? Well, I don't know how it happened. I believe that it happens because either the pharmaceutical chains themselves are involved with the fake drug manufacturers and are trying to make a bigger profit, or that the FDA inspectors are being paid off to let this go unnoticed. But all I can tell you is that I think the simplest way to beat this, and there's no guarantee, by the way, anymore, the world is so filled with counterfeits. If they can counterfeit a diamond, which they can do, how many diamonds are out there in the world that are fake and you don't even know it? You may be wearing a diamond you think is real, it could be a fake. You wouldn't even know it, would you? We're not experts. How would you know? How would you know anymore with fake art, with fake presidents, with fake pharmaceuticals, with fake war heroes, with fake degrees? How would you know if you're even getting a legitimate drug anymore, even if it says Pfizer on it? How do you know if the Viagra that you're using wasn't made by some shyster in a basement in Syosset, Long Island, with a pill pressing machine that he bought when he was thrown out of the vitamin business and he went to a prison for 2 months? That he converted his pill presser from making vitamin C into making a fake Viagra. How do you know? I don't know anymore. That's why I don't take him if I can avoid him. We're living in the ersatz world where everything is collapsing around us for a million reasons. That's called corruption. That's all in plain English. This is called corruption. You have a corrupt, I already went down the list. Everything is ersatz. An ersatz president who you know is faking it. Ersatz, this area, you know, everything is like created. Everything's created. So you people don't know which way to turn. None of us do. So we go back to the basics. We eat comfort food. We, you know, like the sale of beer, for example. During the Great Depression, the sale of beer went up and the sale of smoking tobacco went up. Why? Because people needed a relief from the pressures of a down economy. So now you have a government that has driven cigarettes, for example, into oblivion. You can't smoke. It's evil. They took them out of prisons. I mean, what is a prisoner supposed to do who wants to, who relied upon cigarettes to relax? Well, take a guess what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to go to the quack doctor in the prison, and they're supposed to say they need a medication. And so the prisons are now floating in sedatives provided by drug companies that do billions of dollars with prisoners. Whereas in the past, the prisoner might have smoked a cigarette. Now the prisoner now has to go and get a Xanax or something, or Prozac. Take a look at our military. Do you know that a large percentage of our people serving overseas are drugged on psychiatric drugs? How is this possible? How can you fight a war if you're on a medication? You forbid the guys to have a drink before going into battle because you're afraid that they'll make a mistake or they won't shoot straight? Well, you're right, probably. I'm not even sure that's correct. Because as a matter of fact, during many, many wars, the men took a drink before being forced to charge into a hail of bullets. Kind of made sense to me that if you carried a whiskey flask and you're on the front in a trench and the guy blew a whistle and you had to get up or you'd get shot in the back, it wouldn't have been a bad idea to take a swig out of the brandy flask before you met your maker. But now, no, you have to take a swig of the chemical that was manufactured by some manufacturer in Washington in order to make certain that the machine of the government, the pharmaceutical medical complex keeps rolling on. So that's it so far. It's the state of the world as one man sees it. I hope you've not enjoyed the show, because if you have, you're a very sick puppy indeed.
Let's go to Rochester, New York on the great WHAM. Trevor, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, doctor. My wife and I have been trying to eat healthier and that sort of thing. One of the things that we've looked into a lot is the issue of GMOs and GMO labeling, and I find myself in support of GMO labeling, but I also consider myself to be pretty conservative. It seems like kind of a polarizing issue, like, you know.
It is a polarizing issue, and let's cut to the chase on genetically modified organisms, because that's what GMO means. First of all, many people don't even understand that prior to the laboratory modification through GMOs, or the creation of a genetically modified organism using recombinant DNA, there was hybridization. Plants have been modified. Animals have been hybridized for centuries. There's almost nothing that hasn't been modified in the food chain. Corn, for example, was modified by nature. It was originally a grass that appeared naturally in Central America, in Mesoamerica, and it was hybridized by the Native Americans over centuries or over eons, where they picked the grass plant that had a kernel of corn in it that was small, and they kept picking the ones that were a little bigger, and they would breed the bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until we have the modern corn plant. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, but I
all right, no, so I'm giving you an example of modification of plants to bring them to the food crop that we know of today. So now we're going to the next stage of modifying plants rather than, let's say, taking a cherry tree and trying to make a cherry tree by hybridizing it with another species of a hardier cherry tree with a redder cherry, et cetera, and so on. Tomatoes have been hybridized for the redder, rounder tomato. And now, of course, the laboratories are trying to do it through GMOs. So what's the problem?
I think the issue is that a lot of people consider, okay, GMO, that just means hybrid food, like the examples you gave. So, okay, we have better food, it fights, you know, we don't need as many pesticides, et cetera. But I think the issue runs a lot deeper to all these packaging materials, preservatives to keep things, you know, fresh, or like BHT, all this stuff. I mean, if you look through, you know, cereal, the cereal aisle, almost every box of cereal has, you know, a couple little things at the end. You have no idea what they are, which I believe fall under GMO, but it's not about hybrid plants or hybrid...
Yes, but what if through GMOs, farmers can raise crops that bear herbicide resistance, such as those using the Monsanto-crafted soybean that is resistant to the company's broad-spectrum weed killer Roundup? That means there will be less chemicals used in a season than would while growing conventional soybeans. So that would be a positive, wouldn't it?
Well, I agree that would be a positive, but I...
So there's a positive and a negative. Look, let me explain something. I myself try to eat organically grown vegetables and fruits as frequently as I can. When I go to the supermarket, I go to a small market, I go to the organic section. Do I really know if it's really organically raised? I mean, how much crookery is there in that? I try to avoid pesticides all my life. I try to eat organically grown foods if I can. But if you're talking about feeding 5-6 billion people on the planet, we need to understand that there are pressures upon the food supply that need to be realized. I mean, you can't suddenly go around saying everyone's going to be able to eat organic food. You cannot feed the world with organically raised produce, nor with naturally raised animals. There's not enough to go. There's not enough food would be produced by those methods.
I'm not saying they shouldn't produce this stuff anymore. I'm just saying I think they should label it so people at least have.
Okay, that's fair enough. I could say let's split the difference on that. I'm for truth in labeling, and I think that the food should have a GMO labeling. But I think that people ought to understand that it doesn't mean that it's a Frankenstein food just because it says GMO. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And, I mean, the thing is, you know Americans as well as I do. I mean, they can already read the ingredients labels, whether it says GMO or not. You know,
and by the way, most scientists believe that genetically modifying plants is completely natural. Geneticists say it couldn't be more natural because plants and animals genetically modify themselves all the time. That's the basis of evolution. We've been genetically modifying plants and animals for millennia. That's the basis of animal husbandry and agriculture. So to manipulate a single mustard species, you can produce broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and cabbage. That was all done naturally. Look, I know a lot more than I'm able to say right now, and I'm reluctant to have people get panicked now about this, like they did about genetically grown rice, which, by the way, saved the world, the third world, from starvation.
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Hey, hey, can you survive the turbo? All right, we can survive the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shaziz the Terrible. Looks like Barry might be joining me in a while since he gets his coffee brewed up, and who knows who else will show up at the round table here. So you're listening to Shaziz Radio at www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html if you want to get in on the chat there. The super chat room gives you the option to be able to talk to not only the Shaziz Radio listeners, but the Awake Radio listeners as well, and or hostess. Yeah. Speaking of host, Shaziz Radio's got plenty of room there if you're interested in doing a radio show. The only thing we ask that if you do a radio show, that you deliver your message respectfully, and you don't have to use foul language to get your point across. We try to run a clean ship over here. It's sometimes not always easy to do, but because we got to talk about a lot of subjects out there in this world. But preferably that you just try to be respectful to people. Shaziz Radio is not a platform to be bashing people's beliefs or religions or whatever you want to call it. It's a platform for people to come together to address problems that exist in our world and to actually seek the solutions and try to help motivate people into enacting those solutions. Trying to empower people to believe in themselves and get motivated to be proactive in a world that's gone awry. I played a bunch of podcasts there from a guy named Michael Savage out there. And it was a wide range of subjects there. If you want to go back and listen to the podcast later to listen in, or if you want to jump in the chat room, there are links to the videos on YouTube that you can go check out for yourself. And like I said, there's a wide range of subjects. There's so much going on out there in this world, it's kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to weed through it all. excuse me, you got to pick your battles, I guess. You know, you got to try to figure out what's what out there, and try to figure out what's the most important to you and your family and your friends and stuff, and you got to try to address it in the best way you can. Now, the best advice that I can give you, you know, if you dare to go down the rabbit hole of anything that's going on out there in this world today, the corruption and the scandals and so on and so forth, is that you go in with a mind knowing that it's a potential you could very well get in too deep. The best way to get anything done, as far as I'm concerned, would be a grassroots campaign where you work with your local governments and local people, your local communities, and try to network together and try to resolve problems in your own backyard, and then work your way out from there. You know, there is a mindset in this world that is just, to me, it's mind-boggling, that people feel like they can't do anything. There's nothing that they can do to resolve any of this issues out there that are being addressed. And so, you know, it's pretty much like this. And I've suffered this myself, you know. You know, let's take just your mad science laboratory, for example. You get a bunch of stuff in there, and it starts to pile up, and then it piles up some more, and piles up some more, and yeah, I'll get to it later, and that kind of stuff. A little bit of procrastination going on. And before it's all said and done, you can barely get through anything, you know. And the task seems so overwhelming that you finally lose your motivation, and you can't get nothing accomplished. You know, a lot of folks end up with this problem, you know. Actually, some reality TV shows out there where people will come in there and start to try to help resolve this issue and help these folks get organized again. Maybe that's what old Shaziz the Terrible needs, is some reorganization. You know, I've tried to focus in on what's going on out there in the world and tried to see what needs to be done and who needs help and that kind of stuff, and try to get some words of wisdom and some encouragement and hope and peace and love going on out there. But it's not one thing. It's not a thing that one man can accomplish by himself. It takes a whole bunch of people out there being proactive and working together, you know, and using their talents and skills and, you know, brilliant minds together. You know, As I listen to most of the stuff that I listen to, and I'm continuously being bombarded with information, and I get kind of overwhelmed sometimes. I try to think about, you know, what's most important, what's real, what's not. It's just it's a mess, you know. Even in your own personal lives, you might find yourself in that situation where the whole world just seems just too overwhelming. Your family's got so many problems, there's so many struggles, too much going on out there in the world. And so what can you do to make it any better for anybody, let alone yourself? If you can't save yourself, you know, how can you save the world? And, you know, I've had many people tell me, you know, it's not my cross to bear. Don't put that burden on your back, you know. You can't hold the weight of the world, and you can't save everybody. They have to get up there and save themselves and each other, you know. I guess I kind of see the world in a whole different light as opposed to the average Joe out there. You know, I'm not saying I'm the only one who feels this way, but I look out there and I see all the mess going on, and I'm concerned about wars and conflicts going around the world, and I wish that I could do something. You know, coming from my own background of faith, I have to leave all my cares and worries to the Lord, you know, and try to have faith that He's got this under control, and that all pieces of the puzzle on the chessboard or whatever are being put into place for a purpose. But in the meantime, you know, because of the book that I, you know, fall back on for my beliefs and my faith, is that, you know, no man knows the time or day. You know, he'd come like a thief in the night. And so with that said, I don't know when or if or what. You know, all I know is that I'm in here and here and now, and I got to try to do something positive to move this world forward in a positive direction, as opposed to where I see it going with my you know, my two eyes. And so I do the best I can here on ShazizRadio.com. I get on here, and it doesn't matter whether there's one or two or three or 100 or whatever people in the chat room. I'm going to keep on doing what it is that I'm doing, because I feel like, you know, if nothing's said, then, you know, it's just all going to waste. So by putting some positive words out there and some hope, and pointing people in directions of information that they require to try to solve a problem or finish a project or something like that, and I offer them a microphone so that they can stand up in front of the world and say what they need to say. You know, everybody needs to be heard. I started a show quite some time back called Shout It From the Mountain, you know, and we had some pretty interesting results from that. And you know, the whole concept was to get people, you know, out in the world, you know, moving and talking and solving problems. There's so many brilliant and wonderful people out there in this world, you know, as bad as it may seem to you. You know, when you listen to the mainstream media and the alternative medias and all that, and you hear all the negativities of the world, it's really easy to get overwhelmed and get to the point where you just can't take it anymore. You know, you'd rather sink yourself into a can of beer or a bottle of whiskey or some drugs or something. You know, you just want to, you know, want to medicate or sedate yourself so that you don't have to feel, you know, the pain that it of the knowledge that everybody out there is going through all this kind of stuff, including your family and friends and even total strangers in, you know, what they would classify as third world countries. Now, I personally, you know, my heart breaks whenever I think about somebody in this world suffering for any reason whatsoever. You know, even sometimes even the bad guys, somebody who made a poor choice and they ended up going to jail, you know, doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It might just mean that they're just a person who made a bad choice, you know. And now they're paying the price, and, you know, as soon as that price gets over, maybe they'll keep themselves out of trouble or whatever. This is a big world, and yet it's a small world at the same time, because across the globe there's other people suffering from the same exact things that we're suffering from. Everybody needs heat and food and clothing and shelter and medicines when they need them, and so on and so forth. But not everybody has access to all that. And in the process of that, you know, to do with some of these links that I put down there, there's fake drugs out there, fake medicines, you know, or they call them generics or whatever. There's genetically modified foods, you know, some may be good, you know, some may be bad. It's hard to say, you know. The medicines that you would normally get from your doctor, you know, you're supposed to be able to trust your doctor. You know, the vaccines out there, oh, well, you know, the doctor took an oath not to do any harm. So you got to try to believe that your doctor's going to be good for you. You know, you got to try to believe that the police officer has your best interests at heart. You got to try to believe that you can trust your government. This is the way that society is. But it's not always the case, and it's unfortunate, because there's a lot of good people getting hurt by, you know, they say the road to intentions, or the road to disaster, was paved by good intentions. You know, so there's a lot. I just threw a whole lot of subjects on the table, which doesn't even scratch the surface of everything that's going on out there in this world. But my hope is not to get you living deeper in fear than you may already be living, or paranoid that you can't trust nothing out there. You know, it seems to me that if there was a psychological operation going on around the world that wanted to make everybody fearful so that they would buy products or go to war or whatever, you know, that it's pretty much succeeding at this point. Because, you know, look what's going on around you. Look and listen in your local communities and people that you talk to. There's a range of subjects, and people, you know, I'm on the Democrat side, I'm on the Republican side, or whatever, you know. It's just continuously pitting everyone against everyone. Every belief against every belief. Somebody out there is profiting. You know, somebody out there is making money on all this situation, and that's the whole deal, you know. Heck, I've been scammed. You've probably been scammed. Probably your neighbor's been scammed. There's been so many people out there that have been scammed by crooks out there trying to make some money. And most generally, when those crooks get busted, they're getting busted by bigger crooks, you know, crooks that are with government ties. The whole entire system of society in all nations of this world has become so incredibly corrupted, so infiltrated by different organizations and lobbyists and banking systems and whatever, you know, corporations. And so the mess is so big. It's so incredibly huge that how can we, the people, how can we, the people, resolve this? Is it even possible to clean this mess up? You know? My book tells about days like this. You know? It tells me that in the last days there'd be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence. Whatever you think about my book, that's your own personal choice or opinion or thoughts or whatever. But, you know, reality is reality. When somebody wrote that doggone thing, they pretty much described the world as it is today. And maybe they described the world as it was back in them days. You know, so it says in there that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of coming of the Son of Man. You know, so maybe it was that bad back then. Maybe it's always been that bad. But the key to this whole issue is that in every single nation, in every single country, town, village, or, you know, group, or whatever, there's problems. There's corruption. There's always somebody who wants to be better than somebody else. Somebody who wants to have more than somebody else. Somebody who wants to be famous or powerful or whatever. They want to be wealthy. And the greed and the poor choices that are made has pretty much led us down a path to where we are here today, where we stand, right here on this ground. And whether you believe the earth is flat, or whether you believe the earth is round, whether you believe there is a God, or there isn't a God, or there is aliens, or there isn't aliens, or whether there is a one world government conspiracy, or whether there isn't, or no, it doesn't matter what you believe. Facts speak for themselves. What you see out there in the world, when you're outside and you're walking around and you're going to work and you're listening to your friends and your family and you're listening to what they're talking about and you're seeing what they're saying on TV and you're watching the TV shows and the morality decline on a yearly basis, sometimes it's even faster than that. Sometimes it's on an hourly basis. There was a time when certain things weren't said on the radio. So you have to find a place in your life where you choose the standards that you're going to live by and you stick to that, you know? If you want to be a foul-mouthed heathen and curse your way through life, then, you know, hold on a second. Hello, you're alive on the Knights of the Round Table. How's it going? Yeah? No? Well, I guess that was a bum call. All right, so where was I? So you got to choose your standard. You got to figure out where it is that you want to be in life. You know, you got to figure out what is that you want to project across to the person in front of you. What kind of example do you want to lead for them? What kind of person do you want them to believe you are? And the only way to build a reputation of being a good person is to really seriously be a good person. You know, just start being a good person and keep being a good person. Let's try this again. Hello, you're on the Knights of the Round Table live on air. How's it going? Have you been listening in? Hello? Alrighty. All right, well, so somebody's trying to call me live on air. Anyway, so that's not very good for radio, live radio. Anyway, if you're gonna put off like you're a good person, you need to be a good person, period. You need to remain consistent. Consistency is the best thing, you know. If you're stern with your children throughout your entire life, then your children know there are set of standards that they have to follow by. They don't, you don't allow them to curse, you don't allow them to mistreat each other, and you don't allow them to, do things or say things that are hurtful to each other. And so, that's how you teach them. And you teach them from the time they're young until the time they go out into the world on their own, and hopefully some of that will carry over into their family lives. I sound like I'm preaching to the choir. I sound like I'm preaching, period. But if the world is indeed as bad as we're being told, then we got to get something done. We got to resolve this issue. We got to figure out a way in which to make the world a better place. And it starts with you. You, the individual out there. If you're listening in and you're interested in anything I got to say right here, there's a platform for you. Over at ShazizRadio.com or Wake Radio, or there's many different networks affiliated that have their own chat rooms, and there's people out there trying to do everything they can to help others out. Alternative medicines, alternative media, alternative energy, alternatives to just about everything that is wrong in the world today. But it shows you that you got choices. There's researchers out there researching pretty much every subject under the sun. And once again, it's weeding through and trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong, and trying to pick the best evidence you got, and do the best you can with a bad situation. There's just so much, folks. There's only so much one person can do by themselves. And you can shout it to all four points of the compass, but if nobody's listening, if nobody's acting, nobody's getting up and doing whatever it takes to make their town better, or the village, or the cities, or their states, or their countries, if nobody's paying attention to the people that are there to represent them, then things just go the way they go. There's a lot of dirty deeds that go on behind the scenes. There's a lot of sneaky ways that people get elected. There's a lot of corruption, a lot of criminals. Just the workers' union alone. Sounds good. Sounds, I'll try this one more time. Hello, you're live on the Knights of the Round Table. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, good. Yeah, great show. This is what used to be called Dublin, but I'm now DSoap Dub on Skype because somebody cut off my original Dublin, so I can't contact you anymore. Nice weather here in Spain, sun is shining.
Well, it's good to hear you, brother. I hadn't heard you for a while.
I've been moving around a lot, so it's been difficult to contact you guys.
Well, I'm glad you're back. Have you been listening in any?
Yeah, I get the odd show. Not every time, but the odd show, and been good stuff. I put a link in the your box there to Activist Post. Some kind of guy has figured out some new mathematical formula which ties together gravity and the speed of light and everything.
Cool.
What he does, he uses a very interesting technique in mathematics. He makes light squared and puts that into the equations, and he's now able to make the total amount of kilos of the Earth explain why you get objects fall at 9.8 meters per second. You know, so might be very useful or interesting for other people. But it's in an activist post. They're an American website somewhere. I'll just try to find it for you now. The link is I don't know where it went. Just one second. Yeah, activistpost.com. Did this scientist just discover how the universe works? And the scientist's name is let me think. Try to find it again. Kind of a French-sounding name. Francis B. Fernandez. He's a biophysicist and a chemist, so he kind of knows the onions.
Well, any move forward would be better than what we've got going on today, I guess.
Yeah, well, at least some people are trying to tie it all together and figure out why gravity sucks.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've actually listened in to what was going on today, but I posted a bunch of links down into the chat room about a whole bunch of different issues. So there's a whole lot on the table. Now we even got gravity on the table as well. So that's, you know, that's great.
Yeah, well, the more the merrier.
Yeah. We've talked about everything on this radio station, everything from government corruption to vaccines to, you know, fake medicines to genetically modified foods and so on and so forth. But the point of all these different links was that it's not to put fear into people's minds, it's to educate people to paying attention to what's actually going on around them out there in the world. You know, there's so much going on, so much information out there, it's so easy to become overwhelmed. And so my point is that I'm trying to get it to people out there to have some faith in themselves and to have some sort of hope to where, you know, you got to get out there in your own little villages, your own little towns and cities and states and communities and countries, and you got to stay involved because, you know, Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance, and there's so much that could be read into what those words were, you know, is that if you're not paying attention to the representatives that's out there, the ones that are out there supposed to be on your behalf, then you're liable to lose it all. You see what I'm saying, brother?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's easier to see it in Europe because the politicians here are so corrupt just beyond belief. I mean, the American politicians are maybe better at hiding it, but in Europe they don't even bother hiding it because the laws are made that the politicians can't be put in jail. So
yeah, that ought to be the first red flag right there when they pass a law that says that they can't be prosecuted for insider trading or whatever. You know, that should be the people's first clue. Something's wrong.
Oh yeah, but you see, unfortunately, when they made the EU, whatever controls they might have had against politicians and corruption, when they formed the EU, or what you call the European Union, the first thing they did was make it that anybody in the EU was basically like diplomatic. So even though they are representative and you send them to Brussels to represent you, they have diplomatic immunity for everything they do. So they can't be prosecuted if they steal 100 million out of the EU funds. They can only be found guilty if they steal money from the local funds, like if it's a country like Ireland or France or whatever. But if they steal it from the big pot, you know, the big, what you would call, gravy train pot of the EU, then they can't be prosecuted.
Hey, Dudley.
Of course, yeah. The gravy train is now in Brussels, and everybody's robbing from it left, right, and center. But all the countries in Europe have to put money into this big gravy train for them to rob.
Would you say that that's the equivalence of the fox watching the hen house?
Something like that. I mean, one way of putting it. I put it more like the foxes just line up and eat the chickens for dinner, you know.
Yeah.
With a farmer standing shotgun there, but not able to shoot the gun because there's some other issue that stops them allowing him to use the gun. Well, so all he can do is stand there and look at it.
Right now, I believe that all the nations of the world are in distress because there's so much going on in every single nation that it's just insane. I literally believe that our nations are all being infiltrated from the inside out by organized criminals from you know, the higher up, the elite. You know, some folks want to call these folks, you know, Illuminati or Masons or whatever. You know, it doesn't matter what they are. They're all criminals, you know. It doesn't matter the bankers, you know, if this banker's doing it. It just, what matters is the fact that people, for the most part, are standing idly by and they're not paying enough attention to what's going on because, man, you could get blindsided so easily by, you know, a law that you never even knew was on the books. You know?
Well, oh yeah, I mean, I read there somewhere that the average American accidentally, I mean, without intending, breaks some felony law in America every day.
Yeah.
And that's felony laws. I mean, that's not like, you know, minor things. I think a felon is defined as having spent 5 years, you know, it's, it carries a 5 year jail sentence.
Yeah, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. Yeah. A felony also starts to dig into your rights. Like a felon here, you know, in the United States can't own a firearm anymore. So there went your Second Amendment because you're a felon, see? And so they made a whole lot of different things a felony so that they could deplete away from the Second Amendment of the Constitution without ever even having to take away the guns. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah, and they probably took away their right to vote as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they do that in France a lot. They try to get... you don't have to do a very big crime in France before you lose your right to vote. So the first thing they do is they try and encourage everybody to do some minor crime, and then they get arrested. And, you know, they might be given a 2 or 3 year jail sentence, but they usually out after a few months. But that's not the issue. For the next 10 years, they lose all their rights for just about everything. So the cops can just bash the door down and come into their house anytime they want because they're some sort of big, large criminal or, you know. And so most of the time what the French do is turn them into agents. You know, they say, look, you can deal drugs for the next 5 years in your village or town or a section of the city. We won't do anything to you, but anybody else is dealing drugs, you let us know. And if there's any terrorist activity, you let us know, and we'll give you a lot more.
Well,
so nothing can happen in France without the French government knowing. I mean, all this rubbish that you see about the attack in Paris, as best as I can find out, nobody died. It was all stage managed, the whole lot.
Well, none of it surprises me in the least. You know, I pay attention to what's going on out there in the world, and I love my country. I mean, I love the United States. I'm an American. But, you know, there's certain things that go on that, you know, whether it be propaganda or reality, I'm not positive on because, you know, I only got the information that was given to me. But via the alternative media, I've heard that at one point our military soldiers were over in Afghanistan guarding poppy fields. All right. Well, we got drug laws here, right? We, you know, that's illegal. But yet,
I can guarantee you that the American and the British Army went over to Afghanistan, and the first mission they were given was guard the poppy fields. And the reason why that happened was, Afghanistan exported 90% of all heroin because of poppies, and then the crazy guy, I've forgotten what his name was, came in and he wouldn't let anybody fly kites or have poppies, and he shut down the whole opium business. So the CIA was losing a fortune because they're the biggest drug importer into America. They had to get rid of him by sending the American army over there and the British army and all the rest of them to restart the opium field. So,
well, there's so many conspiracies out there, such as the Fast and Furious, where you know, our government was literally shipping guns down into Mexico to supposedly try to catch some criminals, but at the process, some of them guns came back and shot some of our Border Patrol guys. So,
Oh, yeah, well, that's the name of the game. They deliberately do that, and then they can say, oh, it's the Second Amendment that's causing the problem, and, you know, we got to get rid of the Second Amendment.
Well,
I mean, that's why they're shooting the border guards.
The whole thing is you got to be able to weed through what's propaganda and what's reality, and this is the burden of the mainstream, or not the mainstream, because they just spew out whatever they're told. But the alternative media's out there, this is the burden of them to be able to, when you say something on your alternative media source, that you're saying something that is, you know, is confirmed, or at the very least that you have done everything you can to verify the information to be true and factual. You know, there's so many things going on, such as down there at the border down there. You know, people coming across the border down there, we don't know who they are, whether they're terrorists or whether they're really people in need. And, you know, I wouldn't turn away anybody in need. I would want to help anybody in need. But at the same sense, in this day and age that we live in, where the mainstream media is continuously telling you that, you know, it's either Al-Qaeda or it's the ISIS group or whatever, you know, they're out wanting to chop off everybody's heads and kill everybody, you know, and destroy the West or whatever. So if this is the case, if this really seriously is the case, and our government's here to protect us, wouldn't you think that they'd want to try to first secure those borders and have people come in legally as opposed to illegally, and try to do the things right in order to make sure that everybody gets taken care of on one side and everybody gets protected on the other side as well? You see what I'm saying here? Is that just too much?
No, I mean, it's a basic requirement. If you've got a house and you see a guy on the side of the street, you know, the road, and you think, well, I can help him maybe by giving him a dinner or something. But if you know for a fact that he's got guns and swords, and if you approach him, he's going to attack you, you know, you're going to say, well, you know, I'd like to help the guy, but, you know, I haven't got the resources to tackle that. He's out of my depth. And it's the same for any country. You like to help people who are genuinely stuck, but you're not going to let a whole lot of murderers and rapists and everything else in if you're a normal country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the trouble is, Europe and America now are not normal countries. They've been hijacked, and they've been told you got to let all these people, crazy people, in. And there's an agenda there. Then those crazy people are going to vote in wherever you don't want, like the communists or socialists or whatever. And, you know, the gun grabbers, whatever. But, I mean, if you look in Syria, the Saudi Arabia is not taking any refugees, you know. But they're right beside the place, and they're the ones that are causing the problem with their Wahhabis.
Well, they should. That should be a red flag right there. If their own general vicinity don't want them, then what's going on there? You know, when I think about all this stuff that's going on in the Middle East, all the border crisis is going on over here, things that's going on in Canada, things that's going on in Russia, China, North Korea, you know, it's pretty doggone close to something I read in a book once, but I won't go there. But either way, there's a whole lot of distress in a whole lot of nations these days, and as far as the average Joe listening and trying to absorb all this information, I mean, is it no wonder that people are trying to sedate themselves, to self-medicate, or, you know, drugs, alcohol, whatever, and, you know, even the government itself, drugging the prisoners, drugging the population. You know, you send a kid to school, next thing you know, kid acts up in school. He's either told he needs Ritalin or Prozac or Luvox. Does anybody besides me see a problem with all this kind of stuff going on? See, it's getting to the point. These folks out there who are actually with the drug corporations and the military-industrial complex and the banking systems, they're making billions, if not trillions, of dollars, and the average Joe is literally, as far as I'm concerned, in my own opinion, the average Joe is literally dying. If you want to talk about Agenda 21 and depopulation, how much easier could you explain it? When people are afraid to take vaccinations because there's mercury or worse in there, you know, and then, you know, it just never ends. You see what I'm saying, Dublin?
Yeah, yeah. For example, I know for a fact that most American troops are now supplied all sorts of drugs, whether they like them, whether they want them or not. Apart from the vaccines they're given, they're told, take these drugs. And these drugs are actually very often the memory-erasing drugs, so that if they go out in the field and they, you know, let rip and kill a whole lot of people, they won't remember that they did it. And then, of course, later what they'll do is they'll do a drug test on the soldier and say, oh dear, we found that you're taking some other drug and now you're going to be drummed out of the army.
Yeah.
So, you know, then that way they become a disgraced army veteran. And they're, if they say, well, you know, they were feeding us all these drugs, they say, nah, you're just trying to cover up the fact that you were a drug user. And so, you know, like they're doing their absolute best to keep anybody who's anyway intelligent from being able to speak up on what's going on and what's really happening.
It's a pretty scary world we live in. When law enforcement officers are out there trying to, because they're the executive branch of government, they're the ones that's supposed to be out there enforcing the law. When they're out there with very little knowledge of what the law really is and very little knowledge of the oath that they took to serve and protect and uphold the Constitution, they're out there continuously on a daily basis and violating people's civil rights without even knowing they're doing it, you know? And maybe some of them really know they do it. They just got a power trip going on where they just don't care or whatever. You know, I'm the police. I'm larger than King Kong, that kind of attitude. But, you know, it's got to, look, guys, gals out there, there's got to come a time when you're going to have to say enough is enough. And I'm not advocating a violent revolution by any means. I am talking about you got to get educated. You got to start listening to these alternative media radio shows and the mainstream media and paying attention and stepping back and looking at the big picture and start choosing a side, because this world is in a mess. And it's like I said earlier, I mentioned earlier, when you got your room and your room gets messy, you know, you say, I'm going to clean that up, and then you kind of procrastinate, and before it's too long, your room is so doggone messy that it's just so overwhelming that you just can't find the motivation to do that. You know, we've been joined by Justin and Barry. Either one of you guys got something you want to add to this mess?
A mess is an understatement, guys. I think 2016 is going to be a very interesting year in human history.
Can you come closer to your mic, Barry?
Yeah, how's that better?
A little bit closer.
Okay, hang on, let me set my settings here. Maybe I've got it down too low or something. But you know what? I think this year, guys, if we don't make major changes in society, the window of opportunity might close on us. We look at the moves that Obama's making right now in the United States government. We look at what's happening in Canada. We look, like you said, Jez, around the world right now. And we see unbelievable piles of crap coming out of government. It is just non-ending. And you know what? For the normal person, like you said earlier, she says, for the normal person to try and sit back, and somebody that really hasn't been paying attention in their life to what's really going on around them, they've got their little world, they go to work, they still have their mortgage, they have their house, everything seems to be fine. And they start going into this information that we talk about, it absolutely astounds you. People cannot even begin to grasp what's going on around them. This has all been done by design, guys. The powers to be want to keep us in a situation right now where people don't even want to look at what's going on around them. They'll keep them entertained, keep the football games on, keep the hockey games on, make sure that everything seems to be okay on the surface. But what's going on behind the scenes right now, guys, is just unbelievable, unprecedented in human history. What is happening right now in our world, and it is so covered and so covered up and so controlled by the mainstream media. Society is so brainwashed, like you said, Shiz, is that we're dumbed down. How many millions of Americans are on antidepressants now? And of course the U.S. military, they have to be on antidepressants, because if you went and shot children and you killed children, you don't think that affects people? I mean, how are these guys going to deal with what they're doing if they're not on some kind of drug that's absolutely got their brain in a totally different world. It's a really, really sad state of what we see going on in the U.S. military. They come home, they're treated like crap, they live on the streets. The government treats illegal refugees way better than they do their veterans. Well, that alone, guys, is a travesty in our society. There are so many things going on right now that myself, honestly, guys, I have to wake up every day and I have to pray to God to keep the depression out of my life, because I see what's coming for the human race. It tears me apart, and some days I feel like just running away and just ignoring all this, but I can't.
Yeah,
I can't.
Agree.
In my heart, I can't. So I have to pray every day, honest to God, is because this is a normal person that, you know, I think a normal person that has no kind of moral background or spiritual background right now would absolutely be going crazy. And how can you not look at what's going on in this world right now and go insane yourself? So I it's a battle every day with me, guys. I have to get up. I have to charge my batteries up, because every day I'm on the internet here, every day I see the movements going on in the governments. I see how it's all coming together, how the big plan is coming together. I listen to what the Pope is saying. I listen to what Obama just did with these absolutely draconian gun laws that they're bringing down on the American people. He is pushing the buttons. He's going to force a civil war in the United States of America. I honestly believe that. And when we go to a civil war with the government, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
So we're in a very, very precarious times in human history, guys.
So Barry, I'm with you, brother. But would I be wrong in saying that, you know, this world is as evil as it's getting? There is a serious battle going on between good and evil, and it's time to take sides, because, you know.
Well, nothing else matters, Shaziz. Nothing else, guys, in your life matters. That whatever you feel is right with your, if you want to call them your creator, or if you're, whatever you see as good, you have to connect to that in this point in your life, because the evil is so manifesting itself on our planet. We are being attacked left, right, and center, and you're going to have to come to a point in your own life where you make a stand for what is, you feel is right or wrong. If we don't make that, nothing else matters, man. Everything else is just on the surface. What's really important is what's in your soul. Because I believe, Shaziz, everything that my Bible tells me is going to come to pass. I believe, honestly, 100% that is going to come to pass. And my Bible tells me there's going to be a rise of an Antichrist, and that man is going to control this world. And we see Obama now sitting on the Council of the United Nations, never done before in human history or American history, as an American president sat on the top of the United Nations. He is setting himself up to be the one world ruler. That's what I interpret of what I see his moves right now in the United Nations. We see the small arms treaty. That's going to be pushed very, very hardly. They're going to push the American people into a revolution. They're going to try and get as many guns off us before they do this, but they're going to push the buttons, guys, because they're losing the information war. I'm sitting with people in my community right now, Shaziz, and believe it or not, there's tears in their eyes, because they've gone, all of a sudden, they've gone from sitting in the dark to going on the internet and starting to study what is going on in our world. And you know, it's like, guys, we're looking at our children. You know, my buddy, he's got a little baby boy. He's 3.5 years old, just a beautiful creation of God. And he's looking at me going, you know, like, this came right out of his mouth. He says, Barry, we're leaving these guys a pile of crap. And I'm going, yeah, buddy, we are.
We got to take this thing, guys. At this point in the game, I can't disagree with anything that you said. Not one thing, because it's all about, you know, that it's hypocrisy coming out of the mouth of the leaders of this world. Whenever they're on one side of their neck saying that we're here to protect the children, but on the other side of their neck, their actions speak louder than words. You can't drop bombs and sling bullets around without harming the children. You see what I'm saying?
We gotta get mad, man. We gotta get mad, guys.
Yeah.
We gotta get mad, but we gotta do it in a way that we do not play into their hands. And I keep saying this to people, that they are setting us up. And if people don't see it, then you really aren't paying attention to what's going on. They're setting us up in multiple ways right now for an all-out attack on the human race. And people are going, oh, yeah, right. Oh, you know, some people go, the government can't do that. I mean, come on. This is a civilized world we live in. But you know what? When they pull the triggers, guys, and they unleash what they plan on doing, it won't matter to them if we go, hey, you guys are lying to us.
Well, for those folks out there,
do about it now, you know?
For those folks out there, Well, those folks out there that's got that belief mindset in their head that the government wouldn't do this, I want you to think for a second. How many police officers or how many police chiefs or governors or whatever out there in this world today, you know, got into power through the back door, so to speak, with shady elections and so on and so forth. And then once they got in there, when they were found out to be so incredibly corrupt that even the system threw them out, you know? It's not that the government in its concept is bad. It's that the folks have infiltrated the government. I honestly believe, and I'll say it, it's my opinion. I'm free to say it at this point. At some point, I'm going to be shot for what I'm going to say. But I honestly believe that the man sitting in the White House right now is literally a Manchurian candidate. And I would even go further to say that I even actually believe he could very well be the Antichrist. Now, maybe that makes me crazy, but his actions speak louder than words. On one hand, when he's talking about how, you know, we got to protect the country, but allowing all the things that he allows, and, you know, he joked on there. He told about some boys connecting up with his daughters, and he said, are you guys familiar with drones? You'll never see it coming, you know? That's the president of the so-called United States, the supposed president of the United States, just jokingly threatening to drone strike some children in this world. Now, everybody else could pass that off as just idle, you know, hey, he was just being funny, you know, it's just that, whatever. No, I took it serious because this man just said, you know, hey, mess with my daughters and I'll drone strike you, you know? You see what I'm saying?
Well, come on, there has never been a president in U.S. history that is so... I mean, I don't even want to get into Obama. I mean, we could talk for an hour. I could talk for an hour of treasonable offenses this man has performed while being president of the United States of America. And what we're seeing right now is a mass awakening in the United States. But what do people... The question of the day is, what do we do about it? You know, I hear this all the time. I hear it from my friends. My buddy Doug down at West Point there, the other day, man, I walked in there and we started talking. And he says, you know, Barry, 3 years ago you started telling me, 4 years ago you started telling me that there was all this corruption in government, blah, blah, blah. And when you come in here, we used to put a tinfoil hat on your head and we wouldn't really pay too much attention to what you're saying. But all of a sudden now he looked me in the eye and he says, you know what? He used a profanities, but he says, you know, I now honestly believe that we are in so much trouble that it is beyond the normal person's comprehension.
Yeah, exactly, and I'll tell you what it is.
Comprehend what's going on.
I'll tell you what it is that people can do, and it's just like what you just explained, where you're going down there, and even when they thought you were crazy, you just kept on staying continuous with the information that you were giving them and trying to get them to go out there and look at it, verify it, watch it, pay attention. You just keep feeding that information out there because, believe me, folks, they are literally propagandizing you in every which way to Sunday and every four points of the compass. They are propagandizing you. They are telling you things to further an agenda, all right? And if you don't think that's the truth, you look back in history, you watch what's going on, you look how we got into wars. I don't even want to get into a debate about whether or not 9/11 was an inside job or whether any of these Gulf of Tonkin incidents or any of these other conspiracies that you've heard out there.
Pearl Harbor.
Prior knowledge and all the examples in history of governments run amok. Like I said, I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. Government in its concept, just by itself, is if you send representatives out there and you're trying to keep a society, a civilization in order, you know, but you are there to represent the people and you are servants of the people, but it's not that anymore. They even took to serve and protect off the side of the police car. All right, that should have been a red flag right there. You know, and when they're waving the United Nations flag higher than they are the American flag or the British flag or the Canadian flag or the Russian flag or the Chinese flag, that ought to tell you something ain't right, all right? Every nation needs to be independent. Every nation needs to be sovereign. And it needs to be that way for the same reason why we have an executive, a legislative, and a judicial branch of government here in the United States. It's checks and balances. But these guys have infiltrated and weaved their way into the system so deep, so embedded, worse than a tick, all right? They've embedded themselves into the system. They have used the system against the citizens. They've used the system against itself. They've done everything they can to fatten up their wallet and ensure that there's no way that they can be prosecuted for their crimes once they committed them. So when you see something flying above your nation's flag, and everybody's in the government's out there saying, yeah, we support this flag, you know, and then you start seeing where now there's people saying, well, you can't have your flag in there because it might be offensive to the foreign people that come over here and go to the same school. Or you can't have this over here because it might be offensive to somebody who don't believe in that. If you think you're not being propagandized, if you think you're not being hoodwinked, you need to think again.
Yeah, and what's going on in the schools right now, guys? If you don't think your children are being indoctrinated right now in the school systems, then you're not paying attention. You really got to pay attention to the core program in the United States of America. They're indoctrinating children into Obama. And when you talk about Obama just for a couple minutes here, she says, you know, the Bible talks about the mark of the beast. Well, we have the worldwide mandation of the RFID chip will be in 2 years. We'll see our cashless society within 2 to 3 years. I honestly believe that we're going to be looking at a cashless society. We sweep Sweden and other countries, Finland, right now, almost at that point. This is going to be brought in worldwide, so they have complete control over every financial transaction that we ever make. Farmers markets, any kind of transactions that are made with cash money will become a thing of the past. They'll be able to control through that and the RFID chip everything that we do, and that's what we're being set up for. Well, this is all prophesied, very, very clearly prophesied.
I agree with you.
One other thing I'm going to talk about, just real quick, okay, and then I'll let you talk. But I've been studying biblical prophecy a lot in my life here in the last year, okay? And to say that I'm not here to say I'm right or wrong or anything like that. I'm not here to pound my religion and say that you've got to be a Christian or you're going to go to hell. I'm just saying that myself, I've studied it, and I'm seeing just unbelievable correlation between what is written and what is actually happening right now in our world.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. If you cannot take anything in biblical prophecy right now and debunk it. I challenge anybody out there that's listening to me right now to take Revelation, anything that's said about this particular time in human history that we're in right now, and debunk it. Because it's just unbelievable. It's like reading a newspaper. But all that being said, it talks about, you know, the man of the north fighting the man of the south. It talks about the destruction of the United States of America, she says. It talks about it in great detail. I honestly believe right now the most important thing that we can do is get people to look inside their hearts. Everything else will just come to pass. What it's going to be, guys, is going to be. That's my opinion, okay? That's just my opinion. But I honestly believe what is written will pass just exactly the way it is written, because everything that's been wrote up to this particular time in human history cannot be debunked. So I say, hey, man, whoever wrote the beginning knows the middle, knows the end. He wrote it down for us. He's put it in black and white so we know what to look for. We see it all in front of our faces right now. And if you don't identify it, then you've got your head in the sand, guys.
Well, I agree. You know, look, all I can say to people out there, you got to do your own soul searching. You got to walk your own spiritual journey, but you know what he just explained is fact. If you can debunk it, I'd be impressed. I want to see anybody try to go out there and try to debunk what's said there. I mean, whatever you believe, it doesn't matter. The reality is this: you know, you got a system going on out there that is literally putting people down on a daily basis. And when I say putting people down, I mean exterminating them. All right, and you aren't off the target scale there. You are right in the crosshairs. You, the average Joe, and the only thing that you can do, see, it says in the book that no man knows the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night. And so, in the meantime, we got to try to get our house in order. We got to try to do the best that we can, even if we're going to fail in the end, even if evil is going to overcome us. If we don't make a stand for what's right now, then we're just as complicit as all the ones who's actually out there causing this mess. We've got to do what we can to try to get our house in order before, you know, whatever you believe to be God shows up or not. It doesn't matter what you believe. We're going to fail at the rate we're going, at the direction that we're aimed right now, the path that we are on. This country's going to drop on its face. That country's going to drop on its face. The whole world is going to be in chaos, and it's going to be a total mess unless the average Joe gets up and either gets right with God or gets right with each other or gets right with whatever's true and right. That's the only way to do it. You got to get up and do something. You do have power. Each and every one of you have power. And the man in the book named Jesus has said, lest these days be shortened, these things will come to pass. He said that. All right? And unless there's some sort of reprieve from the Almighty Himself, that you guys are seem to be getting up and you're starting to clean house and you're working this world out, you know, then it's going to happen. And here's the thing. Even if I'm wrong and my Bible view is wrong, even if I'm wrong, if you don't get up and you don't do something right now and you start getting in there and start talking to your neighbors and your friends and your local communities, this world's going to continue on the path that it's on. And darkness will be darkness, and if you don't shine a light on that evil, then it's going to go right up underneath your house, and before it's too long, it's going to have you right where it wants you. Am I wrong?
You're spot on. You're taking the words right out of my mouth. You see it exactly the way I see it. We know that this is a time in human history that we have to make a decision in our own lives exactly what we're doing and what we're doing about what we see unfolding in front of us. If we continue just to close our eyes, well, then you're just abating the problem. You're part of the problem. If you refuse at this point with everything that's being said and everything that we know about what's going on inside our governments around this planet, and you sit back and don't do anything about it, then I honestly believe that you're going to have to look your children in the face and say, you know, I knew something about this, but I didn't do a lot about it.
I right? want to make a tiny example, Barry.
I don't want to have to say that, man. I'll do what I can do at this point.
I want to make a tiny example. All right, and this is just a minute kind of example of what I was talking about. In 1965, Paul Harvey did a radio deal where "If I Were the Devil," and I suggest you go out and listen to it. And you listen to what he said in 1965, and tell me if it doesn't correlate with what's going on here today. Here on Shaziz Radio, whenever we have guests on a radio show, or whether we have host or broadcasting on other people's network, I got one thing that I always ask people is to be respectful in their language. Now, we're not going to go into a debate of what's nasty and what's not, you know, what's bad language or what's not. It's just this. If I'm standing around a bunch of my pals, and they're dropping the F-bomb, the S-bomb, and they're cursing like a sailor, you know, I will find myself doing the exact same thing. And now I got to ask myself, would I want to say this in front of my mother? Would I want to say this in front of my children? Is this the kind of example that I want to set for somebody that I want to try to steer in a path where they're going to be respectful to others? And so if you allow society around you, if you allow somebody to sit around and tell the racist jokes standing next to you, or somebody sitting there foul-mouthing you every 5 seconds, you know, then you're going to become, it's like what they say, you are what you eat, you know, whatever you eat, you're going to end up being. The same thing, whatever you listen to, you're going to end up being. If that's all you hear all day long. When I came out of the United States Navy, I cursed like a sailor. I was a sailor. Man, I had a foul mouth, and I just got continual. And I noticed that the people that I would want respect from walked away from me. The people that didn't respect themselves or me, they would stay right there, and they'd curse right alongside me. All right? And so, does this make me a better person because I'm not using a filthy mouth on the radio, and I'm trying to be respectful to people out there who might not believe the same thing I do? Even when I talk about my own personal spiritual beliefs in the Bible itself, I try to do it in a respectful manner. So I try to tell people that this is just coming from my own personal view, you know. And I don't try to ram it down their throat. I'm not standing up there holding the Bible, slamming it down on the desk, telling everybody out there who don't believe, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe what I got to say. I'm just pointing out, hey, you might want to look, take a second look, and if it agrees with you, then try to follow that path, because the one that you're on right now, the one that this nation's on, the one that that nation's on, the one that the world is on, is leading to sure destruction without fail. And the only people out there who can do anything about it to resolve the issues that we have in this day and age are you. You're the one that can raise your children properly if you choose to do so. You're the one that can treat your neighbor with respect if you choose to do so. If you choose to allow your neighbor to be a foul-mouthed heathen, a drunk, a druggie around you and your children, and come in and trash your house and do all like that, you teach people how to treat you. You taught the government how to treat you. You allowed them by implied consent, consenting to allowing them to do what they're doing, because you believed in your own heart that you had no power to stop them. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I'm just a pawn in the play, man. But we do have the power to stop them.
You've got
to. At this point, Shaziz, it's going to take a monumental effort by the human race to turn around what's going on.
Well, what's the alternative, Barry?
There is no alternative. Either we put a stop to it, or it will manifest itself till the end. I want to be optimistic but truthful with myself and people at the same time. I go, well, you know what? We can right now talk to our friends and neighbors and get them aware. And when they start to go down the journey of discovery and they start to realize just how bad the situation is, how evil that the people are around us that are dealing with us, it tends to put you in another direction. People start to look for other answers. And I try and say to people, well, you know what? If there's evil, if there's this much evil in the world, then there's got to be a good in the world.
I want to be biblically.
That's what you want to seek out, is the good, man.
I want to be biblically controversial just for a second, all right? And I know what the book says. I know that the story is told from beginning to end, but I want to point out to people that we were given free will. All right, we have a choice every day, regardless of whether you believe there is or isn't a God. When you wake up in the morning, you got a choice of how you're going to conduct yourself through life. All right. Now, I said a phrase a little while ago that Jesus said that unless these days be shortened, that these things will come to pass. Now, I want you to think about this just for a brief second, that if you choose to be a jerk all your life, then that's the path you're going to follow all your life. If you choose to try to be the best you possibly can be, that's the path you're going to follow. And as far as all these things coming to pass, everyone has a chance for redemption. Everyone has a chance for redemption. You've got a choice to make every single day that you wake up in your life of how you're going to... You can't do nothing about yesterday, but you can do something about today and tomorrow. Everyone has a chance for redemption. So if everybody out there was to realize the trouble that we are in as a society, as humanity, or whatever, if they realized what kind of jeopardy we were seriously in, and they started conducting themselves in a manner that was respectful and a good leadership and so on and so forth, that we could actually clean this house up. And I would just like kind of like this example right here, Barry. If I had my father and he leaves the house and he tells all of us kids before he leaves the house, these are my rules, this is what I expect, and when I come home I want this house to be in order. If I don't pay attention to that, and me and my brothers, we start running amok in the house and bashing stuff and tearing stuff up, whenever my father shows up back at the house, we're going to feel the wrath. But could you imagine the smile on his face if he came back and we took our free will, instead of doing what it was that we did, we cleaned that house, we respected one another when he came in, we were doing things that were supposed to, you know, we were supposed to be doing, we were doing what was right, and could you imagine? He'd be pleased.
But what does he see now, Shaziz?
He sees
the human race that's destroying our planet.
Yeah.
Destroying ourselves. We have gone to the depths of depravity as far as morals in our society. Bestiality is almost acceptable. Pedophilia is being pushed worldwide. How far down will this society slide before it falls apart? You know, in history, that any society that's come to the point where we are right now has fallen apart. And that's what's going to happen unless we see a major, major revival in our spirit, in our morality, how we view right and wrong in our world. you know, the Ten Commandments. They're a good thing to live your life by, even though, you know, some of them might be controversial to some people. But if you live your life by those, just as a slight example, then it'll change your thinking about life and what we're doing for the future of our children right now, how we're bringing our children up, what they're being exposed to every day, man. It brings me to tears, when I think about the crap that children are being, whatever happened to childhood, whatever happened to innocence.
If you curse in front of your children, then you can't be surprised when your children curse.
Well, exactly. And I try never to curse. You know, cursing is something I very, very seldom, unless I get really, really, really mad about something, a word will slip out.
Well, yeah, you know, well,
wait a second, hold on. I didn't mean to say that.
Heck, even I do it, brother.
Cursing is a way of, is not a way to express yourself.
Even I do it. But when I'm standing in front of a microphone and I'm addressing people and I'm trying to tell people, you know, I ask for forgiveness when I do it by myself, you know, when nobody's around to hear me, and I know that it's wrong. I ask for forgiveness, all right? But even when I'm standing in front of a mic, when I'm trying to point out something to folks out there, I'm trying to tell them something or teach them something or you know, learn something from them, I want to be as respectful as I possibly can, because, you know, that's what needs to be done in this world, you know? If I get on here, I could be a foul-mouthed heathen. There's a lot of radio networks out there in the alternative media that effing this and effing that.
Yeah.
You know, might be my mama coming to listen to that radio show.
Yeah, my children.
You know what I'm saying?
Have you got that? Have you got If I Was the Devil by Paul Harvey? You got on your audio?
Yeah, I'll play it on the way up out of here.
I want to take a break for five and get a coffee and... we take a 5-minute break. Why don't you play that?
Yeah, well, why don't you go ahead and take a break? I'll see if Justin got anything to add in here.
Yeah, talk to Justin for 10.
Justin, are you there? Justin! Space to Justin.
Justin's on there, but...
We'll throw in Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil. I'll throw in a couple other things in there and buy you some time. And
we'll give me 5 minutes, I'll be right back.
Refresh. And everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Hope you don't think that, you know, I'm trying to be holier than thou or preach to the choir or nothing like that. I'm just one guy out here in front of a microphone talking to a bunch of people that I care about. All I want for everybody is to understand that you're not helpless by any means. And you got to pay attention. In 1965, Paul Harvey put this deal out there and said that if I were the devil, you got to listen to it. Listen to what he said. That was 1965. Do the math. I was born in 1965. I am 50 years old. This guy said this the year that I was born. All right? All right, so here we go. Paul Harvey, if I were the devil.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Table and the Knights of the Round Table.
right, everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I've been joined by Barry and Justin, and you know, even the conversation goes on even when we're off air. It just doesn't stop, and it needs to not stop. You need to be out there talking to your brothers and your sisters and all your relatives and all that kind of stuff, talking to one another and actually getting people involved and doing research and finding out, you know, weeding through the fact and the fiction and the propaganda. You got to know, folks. You really got to know. We don't have time to monkey around and pretend that this isn't a problem. When you got problems going on in your school, you'll see it every once in a while. When somebody's bubble gets burst and they find out that something's being taught to their children in school that they disagree with, they'll step up to the plate. Well, 9 times out of 10, when they step up to the plate, they get beat down by the system. They get beat down by the school board, or they get beat down by the police or whatever, you know, because they're mad, they're angry. They don't know how to handle the situation any different than to, you know, pretty much explode. You know, how dare you teach my children trash like this? You know, it's going on out there. And until the majority of the people actually step to the plate and start to raise their voice higher than the level of the propagandist or higher than the level of the politician out there, you know, or the lobbyist, or even the corporations, or you know, anybody for that matter. You'll hear one side, the Democrats, telling everybody how this guy's a racist and you're a racist and don't disagree with this, or you're a racist, or you know, you don't care about the planet because you don't believe that this whole global warming thing goes on. That's the tool that they use to keep you continuously off balance, so that you are dumbed down enough to believe what it is. You're afraid to step out of line. You can't speak out. You know, this president, you know, supposedly the first black man in the history of America. That's supposed to be a wonderful thing. But turns out, you know, he can run amok because you can't say nothing against him or you're a racist. You know, you can't say nothing. If somebody's running around jihading people under the name of Islam, which doesn't say that everybody in the Nation of Islam are bad, but if people are running around saying, you know, hey, Allah, whatever, and then Allah Akbar, whatever, and then starting shooting people up, and then you point out, well, what, you know, we might want to pay attention to this going on over here. You know, this is wrong. Well, then suddenly you're a racist, and you see what's going on, people. You are continuously being pitted against each other, and at the same exact time, when the mess gets so tall, so overwhelming, you get to the point where you're not even being a good parent to your children anymore, because you're so tired and so busy with all the things that you got to do just to pay the bills, exactly, that you don't have time to go out there and play baseball with your son or your daughter.
Exactly. Most families can't afford to have just one parent working now. They have to have two parents working to keep the bills paid. So how does that tie into people being able to homeschool their children? I mean, everybody, like what Justin was saying, everybody should have their children out of schools. It would be an ideal world, but unfortunately that's not possible. So we have to attack the problem where it is, and that's in the school system. You know, we talked there a couple weeks ago, Shiz, about the sex education program being implemented by the Liberal government in Ontario.
Yeah, but don't say what they were talking about. Hold on a second. Don't say what they were talking about, because it's pretty doggone disgusting, folks. You really seriously need to go in and listen. Sit down in the class and listen to what they're telling your kids. I just don't want to. Yep. I don't want to put that out there.
Into the detail.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying. But he's right.
What all I'm saying is that if you haven't, if people that are listening haven't really looked into it, you've got to look into it, because what they're teaching our children is shocking beyond shocking. And if that's what you want your children to believe and be indoctrinated into the ages that they are, then you're not paying attention to what's going on. They're attacking the moral fiber of our children. If a child is brought up with nothing but crap and being tested nothing but crap, that's what's going to come out of them.
Yeah.
And that's what they're being indoctrinated. We really have to pay attention. We see thousands of families now, thousands of people in Ontario, and Justin will tell you the same thing, that are keeping their children out of school because in protest to this education program. And the number is growing as more and more parents become aware of exactly what they're doing. So all we can do is educate people, make people aware. I won't get into the details of
it's not age appropriate, people, what they're teaching their children.
Close. No, that's an understatement. That is an absolute understatement. And these programs are going to be implemented right across the country here very, very shortly. So
if some of this stuff shocks a full-grown adult, you know, with a little bit of self-respect, could you imagine the devastation that's going through that child's head?
At 6 and 7 and 8 years old. Yeah. The most impressionable times of their lives, and when they still believe their teacher is a good person. You know, I grew up saying, you know, I think about my school. I had a lot of respect for my teacher. Right? It's a great guy. Okay, he's teaching you. Right? Well, what are the teachers doing now? I mean, I don't want to get into the detail, guys. Just go on the internet. If you haven't looked into this issue, you must look into it, because it shocks me, and I'm a pretty hard guy to shock. Nothing surprises me anymore what comes out of government, but this is right over the top. And this is coming across the board right around the world, so we must stop it.
Well, I like the whole homeschool concept, because it's about, at this point in the game, it's almost the only option that you got outside of getting proactive in your school and knowing what's being taught in your school. You know, if you aren't in there paying attention, if you don't go sit down and listen to the lessons being taught, then your kid's going to get fed stuff that you might not agree with them having the understanding of at whatever age that they are. Medical, you know. I take my kid to the doctor. I don't take my kid to school to get medical treatment. Now, if there was an emergency and the nurse had to, bandage or whatever, you know, some sort of life-saving deal until medical people got there, then I would be all right with that. But when it's my kid going to school being tested for this or tested for that, or, you know, actually having blood drawn, I don't know why they want to draw blood from my kid at school. Well, maybe they want to log up their DNA. Maybe they want to put them in the system, you know? You see what I'm saying?
Of course. they're overstepping their bounds everywhere we look. I mean, it's like the government's coming out and saying, almost coming out and blatantly saying, these children belong to us. Well, wait a second. Hold on. I'm missing something here. And if we allow this to happen in our society, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about our children. It's like, who was it? I'm trying to remember the... should know that right off the top of my head. Somebody said, a famous person said, once you give me one generation of your children and I will have your country. Well, it was a German, excuse me.
I understand what you're saying, but you're right.
Yeah. You give me one generation of your children and I will have your country.
And that's pretty much what we're seeing.
That's exactly what we're having. Children are being indoctrinated into the fact that guns are bad. You don't ever hear the Second Amendment being taught and propagated in the schools. All you hear in schools now is guns are bad, guns are bad, guns are bad, guns are bad.
Well, Barry, there is...
Hey, tell your parents to get rid of the guns. If your parents have guns, tell us about it. We'll come and get them. See the National Gun Registry coming in now. Go ahead, Jesus.
There is a multi-billion dollar industry out there in the video game industry and the movie industry that promote guns and violence and pornography and trash, just like Paul Harvey mentioned. Ain't gonna make the movies dirtier, right? The video game's the same doggone thing. And if you're an adult and you're sitting around playing, like, let's say, the old Vice City game right there, where you're running around shooting people, doing things you know you wouldn't do in real life because it's illegal and it's wrong, you're just running around laughing. It's a joke because it's just virtual characters on there. And then you got your next generation of kid come up, and that's all they know, first-person shooter games. And then that kid gets on psychotropic drugs and then turns around when he's off those drugs for a brief period of time, suddenly acting out those games because at some point in time, the line between reality and right and wrong gets blurred, and then people will wonder why.
A perfect example of problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah.
Create the problem.
I'm telling you.
And we got the solution, guys. And that's what's being manifested right in front of us right now, guys. I mean, any parent that will sit in front of these video games and play some of them with their children that are 6, 7, 8 years old, they're either so dumbed down by society or they just cannot see what they're doing is wrong. Because what they are doing is wrong, man. It's like we say, children at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old are the most impressionable times of their life, period, bar none. And you might think it's harmless, but what you're putting into that child's mind is violence is great.
Killing
somebody is great. Sex is awesome.
I seen a picture on Facebook one time. They had this little baby giving the middle finger out there. And for those out there that aren't familiar with what the middle finger represents, here in America, it's not a very good thing. It doesn't mean that you're number one. But when you got a 2-year-old or 3-year-old little baby sitting there with his middle finger up and everybody thinks that's cute, well, then that, why should that kid not go around giving everybody the finger from that point on? Because, hey, it was all right before. It was funny before. You know, it was good when I was little. Why can't I do it now? It's freedom of speech. You know, I can give anybody the finger. But if you start raising your children, showing that that's right, if you're willing to curse around them and do the things that you do, you know, drinking or whatever, you know, if you teach people how to treat you. When they get older, they're going to teach people how to treat them. And as society continues to deteriorate, decline, think about the generation when I was born, in 1965, the things that were allowed on radio and were not allowed on radio or TV. Then think about, you jump up to the 70s, how things changed from that, and into the 80s, and now all the way up to the modern days where they're using the B word on radio because it seems to be all right. I don't think it's all right to call some woman a B word. I don't think it's all right at all. You know?
Our kids do these things. Our kids play video games for 5 hours a day after school because what's the parent doing? Watching TV, watching Jersey Shore for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bedtime. Like, even if there's two parents working, that child is still home for 5 hours watching or playing video games. That parent is supposed to be there or is there.
Well, they tell you,
why can't they teach them? Why can't they school them? Alpha and beta teach their kids?
You're right. The day that you decide...
Nobody wants to fess up and take action for their own faults, their own responsibilities.
The day that you decide to play around and either purposely or unintentionally bring a child into this world is the day that your responsibility kicks in. You are responsible to take care of that child. When that baby's born, he looks up at the adults around him, and that he's in a world where he knows none of the stuff that's going on out there. He don't understand at this point in the game.
Monkey see, so, monkey do.
Yeah, and so what you teach that child when he's little is going to make the difference of where he ends up whenever he gets older, you know. And so with that said, the responsibility for us, even if it's not your child, would you want somebody talking to your child the way that you talk to somebody else's child, vice versa? Folks, on ShazizRadio.com, you hear me all the time talking about the cursing issue. It's a tiny issue, man. Come on. We're all adults here. It's America. You all got freedom of speech. I can say what I want. All right? But if I'm going to sit out here and tell you all the things that's going on in the world, do you want me to tell you in a respectful manner? Or do you want me to curse you out because I want to make it sound powerful? And in the process of me telling you all that, and you're listening to me effing this and S and that, and your children walk in the room, are you going to turn down the volume? Or is it okay for them to hear it too? Because it's freedom of speech. Hey, they got to learn it sooner or later. You see what I mean? Yeah. The responsibility lies within you the moment you decide to bring a life into this world. You are responsible to protect them. You know, I ain't saying you're going to have to censor them. You're not going to be able to censor them because they're going to go over to school and they're going to learn things from the other kids at school that maybe the other parent's mom or dad don't think is bad. They might cuss like a sailor out on the playground. Then your child comes home and starts cursing you out. Or your teacher. It
monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, action. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So whatever you choose to do in life, you're going to have to pay for. You know, that's all there is to it. You know, we sound like we're preaching, man. What else we got?
What else we got? I mean, we're talking about, you know, television and entertainment industry 50 years ago when I was growing up. Shiz, I mean, what we saw on TV back then was basically still wholesome, family-oriented television, where if something that was on TV today was put on TV 50 years ago when I was growing up, every parent would be down on NBC's doorstep the next day with a gun or a pitchfork ready to kill the executives. But now our society has gone. Everything that I was taught as young was good is now bad. Everything I was taught was bad is now good. Society has done 100% flip-flop.
The society of shock jocks are teaching your teenagers some pretty nasty things, all right?
Unreal.
When you bail your child out of jail, you'll have to follow back and find out why it is that your child went down that path. Are you the one that sent your child down that path? Are you the one that gave your doggone child the first bottle of liquor? Seriously. You know? I ain't saying they ain't going to drink. They are. I was a teenager once. I went out and drank, but would I be responsible in saying to my underage child, hey, yeah, here, have a drink, you know, I ain't going to kill you. And then later on you're going to a funeral because your underage child didn't make a right decision because you never put that that right decision in their head. And they went out and got in a car crash and probably hurt somebody else as well.
A little glass of wine for your daughter or your son at Christmas time isn't a problem.
Well, you know, and there's that's a personal choice for the person raising their family. But once again, you got to say, it might not be a problem for your child, but it might be a problem to mine, because mine might be more susceptible to being addicted. You know, mine might have a more addictive quality, like me in video games. I can't play video games because if I get on a video game, I'm obsessive compulsive, and I will play that video game for years until I beat it. And it's bad for relationships.
Well, you know, the sad thing
is, you never had structure and routine in your life, probably, right?
No, I've had lots of structure. I've been in the military. I've been a law enforcement officer. I've been in many jobs that required structure. You know, my mom was a good parent. I was raised pretty good. I was a rebellious little character that got in all kinds of trouble because I didn't want the rules to apply to me because they weren't fine. You see, but there were circumstances in my life. You know, I had stepfathers, and you know, I had reasons why I felt it was all right for me to rebel. But looking back in retrospect, I should have listened to my mom. I probably would have been in a lot less trouble. You see what I mean?
I think we all went through years like that. She says, and some of us are lucky to come out of it alive. Some people didn't.
Yeah, but here we are.
You know what? Alcohol. You know, society. Boy, you go on TV and boy, you see beautiful ads with beautiful people drinking alcohol, having fun, right? Society promotes it. Yet alcohol is the most destructive drug in our world. But the government makes billions and billions of dollars off tax sales, makes billions of dollars in the court system when they're prosecuting DUIs, make billions of dollars in the hospitals and the lawyers. They're all making a ton of money off alcohol. What a travesty in our society.
Yeah, well, I tell you,
I just teach my children. All I taught my children growing up is that, you know, society's going to push alcohol on you, but alcohol is poison.
I tell you, it has its pros and cons, and most of the pros are like the temporary pros, like you kind of feel happy there for a while, but you go out there and ask the guy on the comedy show who went and picked up a beautiful girl and woke up with a dude the next morning. All right, hey, you was pretty last night. What's going on?
Remember what happened?
Where'd that come from?
I've had a few of those experiences in my life, and I'll tell you, it wasn't nice.
It's unfortunate, man. But look, for every
choice of alcohol,
yeah, for every choice that you make, you got to understand that there's going to be consequences, you know, good or bad.
Society never shows the negatives about alcohol. Yeah. Never shows the destruction or the death or the misery or the fights or the families that break up or people that are addicted. Never, ever promotes that in society.
Yeah.
All the things about it. So
don't show the depression. Don't show the liver damage. Yeah. Don't show the brain damage. Don't show none of that stuff.
I lost a brother to a drunk driver. She says, I was 4 years old. My brother Brian was going home from church to go. He was going to my grandparents' place for supper, and he got broadsided by a drunk driver and took him away from me. And
that's terrible,
know,
man.
That happens every day in our world. And yet it's all good. So
well, here we are.
All would go away myself, but that's just my feelings.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to go through that, man. I couldn't even imagine that. You know, I still got my brothers, thank the Lord. But you know, it's look, folks. Here we are. We're standing on top of this trash heap, and there's only one way to fix it. We got to start picking at this trash heap, and we got to start cleaning the house because we got to live here together. You know, you don't have to agree with me what I believe. You don't have to agree with your neighbor what you believe. But you're going to have to get along long enough to try to sort through all this mess. You're going to have to start paying attention to what is going on around you. The world that going on around you. And there are people, believe it or not, in this world who do not have your best interest at heart. There are people who would rather take a dollar and at the same point take your life to get that dollar. And that's fact. if you trust the drug industry wholeheartedly, then don't complain whenever something goes awry and they give you the wrong doggone drug. Of course, you know, now in the litigious world, you can sue and maybe get some money, but in the meantime, the damage is already done, you know. And as far as the government sending your children off to war, you know, if you're waving the flag and I'm patriotic, you know, we got to go get the bad guys because they just attacked us or something, and your son comes back half a man or less or not even at all, then, you know, you have to say, you know, you see what I mean? I'm not trying to be terrible here to people. I'm trying to be realistic. For every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction. There are consequences to sending people off to war. There are consequences to not paying attention to what your children are learning in school. There are consequences to allowing your governments to run amok. I'm not saying go up there and violently throw them out of office, but I'm saying before you pull that lever, at least, at the very least, know what that person stands for and what they've done in the past before you pull that lever. At least give it a shot. You know, if the system's corrupt and you find out the doggone voting is not, doesn't count, then get into your local communities and begin to make it count. You see what I mean? That's what else can you say, man?
What else can we do at this point?
Well, if we don't do nothing, you know, I got this little deal that I talk about. We are the founding fathers, the mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, define the world they live in tomorrow. We will leave behind a legacy of a terrible mess, not just in our planet, in our food system, in our government structures, in their freedom. Right now, because we think we can't do anything about it, because we think we're not powerful, because we think our words aren't going to matter, because we think our vote isn't going to matter, some of us don't go to the polls, some of us don't go to the school meeting, some of us don't go to the city council meeting, some of us don't pay attention to what's happening in the government, and some of us just don't care at all, some of us don't even know. And that's the worst possible deal there. Thomas Jefferson said, I'll say it again, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And if you profess to care about freedom, then you need to be one of those Minutemen standing up there paying attention to what's going on. You need to be watching your neighbors and make sure they're safe. And if the government comes down on them and you don't agree, that you stand up beside them. You know?
Yeah, unfortunately, Shaziz, a lot of people don't want to get knocked out of their bubble.
Yeah,
and
well,
if they step out of that bubble, they're in a state of disarray. And if if they start looking at what's going on around them, it's definitely going to knock them out of their bubble.
Somebody
get out of that comfort zone.
Somebody put a sound bite out one time, and when I first heard it, it didn't sink into me. But after a few times of hearing this, when they came for the black man, you said nothing. When they came from the yellow man, you said nothing. When they came for the red man, you said nothing. When they came for the white man, it wasn't nobody else there to help you out.
Exactly. And that is so true right now. Get to know your neighbor. Pretty important thing to do. Get to know your friends around you. Start talking. Form groups. Because you're going to need each other if the poop hits the fan.
And the scary thing about it is, if you look back in history and you look at the German people, there's a lot of wonderful German people. But during that time, there were a lot of complicit people that were fearful of their life, that, you know, you had people turning people in. People turning other people in. And back during the whole slave trade, you had good people during the slave trade that were trying to hide people so they could keep them at least some sense of freedom without being abused and stuff. You had people risking their own lives to try to hide people, you know, because they knew that it was wrong what was going on. In every single culture, in every single story, there were always good people behind the scenes, you know, trying to protect the ones that they felt were being unjustly persecuted. You know?
Yeah, and then, well, is it a coincidence that when Hitler was making his anti-gun speech in 1936, he was surrounded by children? And what, Mr. Obama was surrounded by children in his anti-gun speech the other day? History repeated itself over and over again.
Yeah,
America's a duplicate of Germany.
Obama's executive order if you put Obama's executive order on gun control beside Hitler's executive order of gun control, they look
identical. They're identical.
Yeah.
It's almost to the word. What he's brought in with the registration, simple passing between person to person, it'll be a nationwide gun register. They'll know where every firearm is in America, and when they want to confiscate them, when the United Nations comes in to confiscate the guns, they'll know exactly where to go. But one thing I wanted to talk about for 1 minute here today is that a lot of people don't realize the power of one EMP being let off over top of the United States of America.
Oh, it'd be a mess.
What a scenario, Shazis. Let's talk about just for 1 second. Okay, all of a sudden an EMP gets let off over top of the United States of America, and you're knocked into a complete state of blackout where there is no communication, no electricity, no vehicles, complete breakdown of society, where we're knocked back to pre-1900 or even before that. But the problem with it is the rest of the world still has communication. The rest of the world still has electricity. Would that, what a way to open up America to an all-out attack.
Yeah.
Can't communicate. If the United States is in a blackout, people would be fighting just to live, let alone an invasion by a foreign entity. One scenario that I see them possibly unleashing on the American people, where it would, everything that we're preparing for, would really be put aside, and we would basically be knocked back into the Ice Ages, fighting a modern army invading the United States of America. We got to be on guard against that one, guys.
Speaking of Ice Age, I want to say something completely stupid. I'll say something really ridiculous, all right? So, let's say all this really comes to pass, and there's a blackout, right? And it's wintertime in your general vicinity. And you don't even have a match. You don't know how to rub two sticks together, so you can't start a fire. So, what is the difference between that and when they come around to get you personally and your family, and you don't even have a gun to fend them off? You got a shovel or a pitchfork, and they got a 50 caliber sitting on an army tank. You see what I'm saying? Look, people don't think about that kind of stuff until, you know, you don't realize how much you need insurance until you get in a wreck and you don't have insurance.
Yep.
You know, the Boy Scout, man, you talk about always being prepared, man. There's a lot of Boy Scouts out there. I bet there's a lot of Boy Scouts out there that don't even have a gun.
Well, hey, you're right, Shazers. Most of society would be completely blindsided, and that's what they'll play on, of course.
Yep.
Out of chaos comes whatever they want to implement. I mean, if something like this happened, I don't know how it all would play out, because all communications would be broken down.
Well, for anybody,
every modern vehicle, every modern appliance, every computer, every phone would be null and void.
For everybody out there who wants to peek in on what it would look like, the closest I've ever seen is go watch the series Jericho. Watch it from season one all the way through, and you will get a glimpse of what it would be like under the scenario that Barry just presented to you.
I've never watched that series.
You go watch it. I suggest get on Netflix or however you can watch it. Watch the series Jericho, and then come back, and we'll have a radio show about it.
I'm okay, telling you. I'll do that.
Brother, you check that out. And for those folks out there listening, check it out. Watch the series Jericho. If you want to know what this world would look like during a civil war or a total breakdown, you go watch that series, and if you come away from that series and you ain't willing to go out and purchase yourself a firearm to protect your family and to try to figure out ways to not only collect you some stored goods or something like that, but figure out a way that you can hide them from whoever's going to take them from you.
Mm-hmm. That's another problem.
You will find out the hard way when it comes down to it how friendly your neighbor really is once he gets desperate and he's watching his baby starve, knowing that you got food in your pantry. Now, I personally, I go over and make sure that baby had food. But there are folks out there, you know, that would say, hey, I can justify this because if I give it away, then my family's going to starve, and, you know, I got to take care of mine first, all right? Well, just watch it. Just watch it, and you will see how people would react in a situation to where they become desperate or fearful that they're not either going to be able to get gas or food or whatever, you will see the true nature of humanity whenever you see a total collapse in a system that you're accustomed to. We sit around and we complain about it all the time, about the corruption. But if the corruption gets to the point that it puts us down into that scenario to where it's either a total financial collapse or a total mechanical, whatever, some sort of attack from the outside, some sort of huge natural disaster, and you're left with what you got in your pocket. What do you got in your pocket right now, Barry?
I got a little bit of money, but I've also prepared myself a little bit.
Well,
a couple years ago, I thought I'd start doing that, and I have done some stuff.
If all heck breaks loose,
look out for my family a little bit.
If all heck breaks loose right now, and you got to get from your house over, let's say, 5 miles away from your house to get some of your relatives back to safety, how would you fare right now, as right at this very moment, with what you got in your pocket?
Well, I would be able to look after my family for a while, she says, because like I said, personally, I have done a little bit of preparing here in the last couple of years. Anything that I have, I don't keep in my house, because I honestly believe, like you said, if there is a breakdown in society, your neighbor will become your enemy in a flash of your heartbeat. He will become your enemy. When it's either him or you, that friendship is gone, and you have to be prepared to either protect your family. You got to have at least a firearm, guys, and have a little bit of food and a possible way to heat your house. You know, I mean, we're in winter time right now. If the grid goes down, they have nothing to worry about, because millions and millions of people will die. Millions of people out there aren't even prepared in the slightest way, that are completely dependent on the system, and have no concept of the system all of a sudden falling apart. Doesn't come into their minds as a possibility, but it is more than a possibility right now. It's what I think they're going to play on.
Yeah.
So prepare yourself a little bit, guys, honestly, because, you know, there's an old saying, it's better to be prepared and all of a sudden need it than not to be prepared and need it, because then you're going to be grinding your teeth and kicking yourself in the butt saying, why didn't I do something about this when I knew it was a possibility? You got to look after at least your basic family.
What about you, Justin?
What about you, Justin?
You got what do you got in your pocket right now? If all heck broke loose right now and you had to make it from point A to point B, let's say 5 miles, and you didn't have no transportation, well, how would you fare?
Oh.
I think you went to sleep again.
Justin, boy, he's in and out. You never know when that guy's here or he's not.
Oh, he's a busy man. But anyway, either way, that, basically how you explained your particular circumstance right now, you are probably better off than at least 80% of all the average Joes out there, because very few people even think about, you know, any kind of insurance until, you know, it's already too late, all right? Well, you know, am I saying everybody turn into a freaked out, paranoid, you know, prepper, whatever, you know? No, but what I'm saying is a little bit of common sense can go a long ways when it comes down to, you know, you got to be alert. You got to be aware when you're driving down the road, you know, if you're texting on your cell phone and listening to the radio and having a conversation with the guy or gal in the back seat while you're trying to drive down the road, there's a lot going on in front of you that you're not paying attention to. And at any given moment, some drunk on the other side of the road could weave over in your lane. And that split second that you got your head turned around talking to the dude in the back seat would be the last. You know? And if you think the government is there to help you out, they're already telling you they want to take away your firearms. Well, they'll say, no, we want to uphold the Second Amendment. We just want you to have a BB gun instead of this over here.
Yeah, single shot.
Yeah, but what happens if all heck breaks loose and you, who are the militia, if you read the Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms talks about well-regulated militia necessary for a free state, means that, you know, they expect every able-bodied man and woman out there to be armed to protect themselves, not just from a foreign invader, but from the government if the government got out of hand.
I wouldn't worry about the foreign invaders, guys.
Well, so
they're not your enemy.
if you lose the Second Amendment, then you lose your right to defend yourself against a tyrannical government. If you lose your First Amendment, you lose your right to even speak out against a tyrannical government. If you lose them all, then you're just at the mercy of whoever's tougher than you are. And if you happen to be the big bad boy on the block and you can take them down, then you'll be the top dog on the log and you'll be boss. But it ain't going to happen like that, because if you noticed, every little scrawny little mouthy guy out there has about 10,000 bullies behind him that are willing to beat you up because you're threatening that little guy. You think those corporate goons out there and the government officials, the congressmen and the senators don't got armed bodyguards, and the president of the United States got an army. And he's talking about building another army. Plus, he's letting his other army in through the gate so that he can get himself voted back in.
Let's not even go there.
It's a mess.
Well, you know, if he declares a state of martial law, he can bypass the election. And I don't think right now Obama has any intention of giving up his power, myself.
Well, personally, I don't think he is either.
No, I honestly see him enforcing martial law. And when martial law is declared, we know what's going to happen with all the executive orders that
are Barry,
on the books, man. So that's a scary scenario. But anyways,
it's 2016, so we're getting close to due date. When it's time for him to get up out of office, we'll find out whether or not he's going to go willingly or not, you know, and we'll find out who the next front man's going to be up in there, or woman, whichever the case may be. We're going to find out. But the fact of the matter is, you know, every single election out here that's going on inside the United States, it becomes more and more valuable every single year. You don't realize how important it is to pay attention, because if you follow the tracks back, if you follow the money trails and those who want to be in charge and those who have had power for so many years and their track record and so on and so forth,
they're all one big happy family.
There you go. Ain't no different between the blue and the red. Ain't just a different. Hey, it's like the difference here in Missouri. We got the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think it's not the Broncos. What's the one up there in St. Louis? Doggone it!
I guess I'm not much of a football fan.
I can't even remember, but there's two major NFL teams in Missouri. So you know, you root for one.
They're the Rams, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, it don't matter, because I don't watch it anyway.
That's how much football I follow.
But the fact of the matter is, you're rooting for one, you're rooting for the other. You're in the same city, maybe, or the same state. Maybe you ought to just root for both of them, you know. But hey, these fans don't like these fans, and you know, you got other. It's just a favorite team you're voting for, the favorite color or whatever, you know. And that's no way to. That's no way to preserve your freedom, you know?
One of the biggest distractions is our society is football.
Yeah,
hockey,
and all-star wrestling. You know it's fake, but you can't take your eyes off of it.
Yeah, who cares? And what do we see now on the top of the church? Gladiator sports, man.
Yeah.
Very similar to Rome.
As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
Exactly, buddy. It's like the biggest thing on TV now is MMM or whatever it is, man. Guys beating the crap out of each other. And everybody loves it. It's a sign of what our society is.
You got a little man 10 years old saying.
They're indoctrinated into it from their time to children with their games. So, of course, the next step is to watch real guys fighting and they mimic that at school. I mean, come on, guys.
You got little kids 9, 10 years old talking about how, you know, when you ask them what they want to be when they want to grow up, they say, I want to be an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
And they're right around beating their fellow kids up in school because they're trying to, you know, show how tough they are, that they're tough enough to be an MMA fighter.
Exactly.
And, you know, it used to not bother me when I was a kid, whenever somebody wanted to play Army or something like that. You know, it didn't bother me when I was a kid because, you know, playing Army, man, was kind of fun. But then as I got older and I went into the military and I started having to face the realities of what being an Army man really meant, and that there was serious consequences for the actions of being an Army or a military man, and then the fact that when you're promised a whole bunch of stuff to defend your nation, and the main part of that was that you were helping to defend the rights of others, and that they would protect your rights as well, and it was all about, you know, freedom and preserving that, and then you get out and you find out via the Veterans Administration that you're just a number. You're not important anymore, you know?
Yeah, and it's all a lie.
And, you know, so now when I see kids wanting to be Army men, you know, when I grow up, I want to be an Army man. I ask them, I'm like, do you know what that means? Do you know what Army men do? You see what I'm saying?
War is glamorized in our society, and war is not a nice thing, guys.
Yep.
That is people dying. That's somebody's loved one dying.
But you know something? If I don't know...
That's the bottom line. Go ahead.
If I don't know the Russian on the other side, and we ended up in World War III, I don't want to kill the Russian on the other side. Why would I? I don't know him. You know? But if I'm forced at gunpoint to defend myself and I end up killing that Russian on the other side, or they end up killing me, neither one of us knew each other. Neither one of us, we might have been best of friends if we were able to have the time to sit down and discuss why it was that we were battling with each other to begin with. So you got to ask yourself the question, what kind of evil in this world could pit two average people from two separate parts of the world towards each other to the point that one of them is not coming out? One of them's going to die. You see what I mean?
It's been going on for hundreds of years. She says, I mean, wars are all about money. People think that we're going to war to protect freedom. We're going there because the bankers have prearranged the war, and we're going there to make them money because that's what makes them money, and they don't care about your life. Your life means nothing to them. I mean, come on, 9/11, 3,000 people were killed by their government. Well, do you think they care if it's 3,000 or 300,000 or 3 million? It doesn't mean anything to them at all. It's about what their agenda is. That's what we're seeing happen right now.
Yep.
War is not a pretty thing, guys.
Well, it's that time, brother.
It's all the children say. And every game out there is promoting it. And
yep.
Of course, it's indoctrinating our children. We've got to put a stop to it, guys. I know we're at the end of our time here.
Yeah, it's that time. It's that time to go around the table. But, you know, before I go around the table, I just want to tell people, I'm going to say it again, you know, I don't curse here on Shaziz Radio. I don't curse because I think I'm better than anybody out there. I don't curse because I'm trying to set a standard for myself that, you know, you teach people how to treat you. And if it's okay for people to curse you, then, you know, you should curse them. It's as simple as that, you know, if that's what you agree with and that's what you like. But here on Shaziz Radio, it's a platform for you to come here and be respectful to one another and try to solve the problems that we've got going on in this world today. It's a platform for the people to try to get something accomplished. And it's the whole concept of the round table is there's no leader at the front of the pack. Everyone that sits down at that table is equal. I'm no better than anybody else. Just because I call myself King Shaziz the Terrible, which is kind of funny if you really know who I am in my heart. But, you know, it's about what we do today is going to make the difference of what our life is like tomorrow. And there are some little ones out there in this world that they really need us to put down some paving stones so they can have a little bit smoother path into the future. So with that said, Barry, you got anything you want to add to that?
Well, just always a pleasure coming in here and talking and discussing things, Shaziz, but all I would say to people is be prepared for some events inside the government that are going to try and push us in a certain direction, and be aware of it, because there's lots of little tools in their little arsenal, their little toolbox, I think they're going to unleash on the human race. So just be prepared, and make yourself right with God.
Yep, be eternal vigilance and find your spiritual truth wherever you go. That's the only thing I can say. What about you, Justin?
Justin's still not
Justin,
here.
Justin, wake up. Well, I'm sure that whatever Justin was going to say would have been really profound. He's a young man. He's a good-hearted soul. And, you know, that's what it's all about, bringing all these brilliant and wonderful individuals to the table. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. And if you want to join the Knights of the Round Table, it's as simple as a Skype call in. You know, that's that easy. If you want to be an honorary Knight of the Round Table, just jump over there to the chat rooms and www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html will get you two chat rooms for the price of one, which is free. So that's a pretty good price, wouldn't you think? All right, folks, you've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. We said about as much as we can say in 3 hours, and we're going to continue to say it. If we're not saying it, and you're not saying it, and nobody's saying it, then evil is running amok, unchecked. There are no checks and balances when there are no nations that have sovereignty, when there are no people who have freedom, and when the governments all blend into one, when the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch of government become one, then who's to say the guy in power is going to have your best interest at heart whenever he does whatever it is that he's going to do to each and every one of you. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to bookwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Cable, and the Knights.